listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
You are all about to get on this record. Getting to be a strange place. A lot of crazy things are happening. A lot of questions need to be asked. A lot of puzzles need to be put together. And here are all the pieces that you're going to get from one man right here on The Big Puzzle with your host, the one and only man from Canada, Mr. Barry Ritz.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this Sunday's edition of The Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince, and I'm coming to you from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through People's Internet Radio, being simulcast on ShakenWeekRadio.com, and also being heard on the Truth Be Told radio network. Thanks for joining in today, and as I always like to start my shows with a little plug for the stations. We aren't funded by anybody but viewers, guys, so if you like what we're doing and some of the content that's coming forward, even a cup of coffee every month would really help out the station, so if you can do that, I urge you to do so. Always like to start my shows off thanking my producer, because I forget at the end to thanks, Steve, for what he does for me every week and put up with me. And I'll tell you, I would be lost without the gentleman. So thanks, Steve, for what you do. I had Dr. Arianna Love on a couple weeks ago. And, boy, I'll tell you, the chat room's just lit up asking for me to get her back in here fairly quickly. And she's been kind enough to oblige me for an hour today. Welcome back to the show, Arianna. And I know there's lots to talk about. I don't know where you want to start, but I know you had a few things that you wanted to talk about today. How are you? And welcome back.
Hi guys, thanks for having me back. I really enjoyed last time, and I know there's a lot of very important subjects for us to talk about.
Okay,
so I've got the floor.
You've got the floor right now, and you bleeped out there for a second. One of the things, Arianna, I've got to thank the guys that are listening into our show today from CSIS Canada and the FBI and the CIA and Facebook and all the other people that are monitoring our shows. We got to make sure that we always make them feel welcome, because we know everything we're doing now is being monitored and listened to. So welcome to the shows, guys. Go ahead, Arianna.
Yeah, welcome everybody. And I really do appreciate the audience too, because it's, you know, pretty much person-to-person contact at this point, how we spread information, because the mainstream is just completely a death machine, or in death machine. They're completely hiding the numbers. I thought maybe we could start out on some of the numbers just to give people a frame of reference, like where we're at, how many people were injected and stuff like that. Here in Europe, we have like the latest report from April 24th is 8,430 people dead from these, biotech injections. And there's 354,177 injured. And I want to remind people that there was a study done with Harvard, and they proved that less than 1% of the actual adverse reactions and deaths are ever reported to the reporting system. Right. Now, this is a new reporting system in Europe. In the United States, everything goes to VAERS. Now, people need to be aware, or the CDC. The CDC uses VAERS, Vaccine Adverse Reactions System.
Right.
Yeah, but the CDC was caught shaving numbers from month to month. Now, that there's a video on my BitChute about that. So you got to kind of watch them. But one of the things that the VAERS has, let's see, in April, the rate of death on the VAERS reporting system was 4.9% in the U.S. Now, Pfizer and Moderna are giving injections in the U.S. and in Finland. So I think the numbers are going to be relatively the same. Mm-hmm. Then in February, the rate of death in the U.S. was 5.5%. Now, the rate of death, you can multiply that by any amount of person who was injected, and you can get the actual numbers of deaths because it's a percentage that he's gathered from the reported cases. So there's 250 million people in the United States took the COVID injections. That would mean that at a rate of, say, 5%, there's 12 million deaths. That should be what's reported in the media, but it's not. So this is a frame of reference to where we're at. I'm just thinking here. I think it's important for people to realize, you know, you've got 8,000 that are dead in Europe, 8,430, and the number is actually at least 90% higher than that.
So we're talking 80,000 deaths.
Exactly. And this is how they're hiding them. And they are hiding them because they want people to run and take the injections.
Well, they're pushing it harder now than they ever have. I mean, you can't turn the TV on now or any mainstream media and not have vaccine advertisements hammering you every hour. It's absolutely ridiculous. You turn on local radio, and all I hear for an hour is COVID, 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 COVID. And the government pushing this vaccine so hard right now. Boy, I'll tell you, it's pretty crazy what they're trying to do with people. Go ahead, Arianna.
And the last time that I was on, we were talking about these carbon nanotubes that have been found in the masks and the swabs and diapers, women's tampons. I don't know what else. You know, we really need people on laboratories and professional microscopes to analyze everything, everyday products. I mean, we should be putting in many things that we are exposed to. So I think we're all being exposed to these drugs and chemical agents and bioweapons to a degree. So the health ranger from Natural News, he took some photos. Since I was on last, and he found, because he has, you know, he's a scientist and he has a laboratory, professional laboratory. So he took some very professional pictures. And what he discovered is that he saw different colored nanotubes inside of masks and also on, so they were, some of them had grippers on the end. So they looked kind of similar. Somebody put a video on YouTube and tried to debunk this and say that they were just fibers from clothing. And they did kind of dance like fibers, but they were different, distinctly different from the carbon nanotubes. They had more thread coming outside. So the carbon nanotubes looked different. And something else in and the threads didn't have these grippers. Another thing that, the health ranger, he did take one of the swabs. A photograph of the swabs showed there was a light source coming out of these fibers. So it was bioluminescent. And that coincides with the fact that the nanotubes are semiconductors. So they were conducting electricity in the photographs. That's not natural.
Not at all.
He hasn't released any new photos since then, but that was, you know, right there is some more evidence that came forward.
So what would be the common denominating factor for all the products that we're finding these things in? They all are coming from China, if you look at the common factor. Well, you know, one of the things that Arianna, the people have to realize, and, you know, this is not hard to understand, that China is not our friend. That they're hell-bent on destroying North America. And what a better way to do it. I mean, nanotechnology, it boggles my mind now what they can actually do with nanotechnology. But you know what boggles my mind even more is that the technology we know about now, well, they actually probably are 10 years ahead of what we actually know about. And if you take that into a thought process, what they're doing now with nanotechnology, what are they going to be able to do in 10 years down the road? Well, I think they've got some weapons put away in their little toolboxes that we're not going to have any kind of defense against when they decide to unleash them on the public. So that's something I think about all the time. They can be putting nano entities in just about every product that they're sending to North America, because they represent, what, about 80, I think it's 88% of the products that we're using now come from China. So what a better way to destroy a nation. Go ahead, Arianna.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, the whole thing started in Wuhan, and, you know, this model of lockdown and masks and ventilators, and they all came from the Chinese Communist Party. And these are all weapons of war. These are all things that kill you. And we've got all the science came out. We know that. We should know that by now. You know, mm-hmm. we should not be participating in their program whatsoever. We're also going to have to get out off of the financial banking system. We have to disconnect completely from the central banking system. That is how we take our power back. That is how we watch them fall. You know, we have to create our own systems, our own communities, and our own currency, our own trading system. I think that that's what's going to happen once people start picking themselves back up again after the mass extermination we're facing that's coming very soon. Then people are going to have no choice but to come together and find their strength in numbers. But exactly. We could end this right now if we pulled out of their banking system and stopped using it and set up barter and trade in our community, in our local communities. I mean, everybody should be seeking people in their environment right now who they trust, and is deepening their alliances and meeting every week and strategizing how to support each other and talking about these things, what we're discussing today. I mean, it should be, you know, people should make a consistent, concerted effort also to enjoy and celebrate what it means to be human, because we need that for our immune system, for our immune health.
Yes, we do. It's amazing what kind of effect that has on our immune system. What people are being put through right now with the trauma and the fear has an incredible effect on our immune system. I was reading an article on that this week, but it all plays into what they're trying to do. You know, they're trying to destroy us. They're trying to make us sick. They're trying to get us all to take a vaccine that is absolutely insane if you do take it. And I look at some of the things I'm reading this week. I was reading one report from John Hopkins University here yesterday about the contagiousness of this vaccine, and all the reports that we're getting from people that are just coming into contact with people that have been vaccinated are reporting the same adverse effects that people that have actually taken the vaccine via the needle. So what I think we have here, Arianna, is the perfect bioweapon. That China was working on this so-called vaccine 5-6 years ago. Dr. Fauci, if you look at his involvement in this 5 or 6 years ago, you'll see all the connections. This was planned a long, long time ago, but I think what they've unleashed on us now is the perfect bioweapon, because we're not going to be able to avoid it, even though you and I and millions of other people are going to say no to the vaccine. We're not going to put that in our body. I think they've created something that we will not have a defense against. What do you think?
Right. We can talk about that. this is kind of heavy, but not to be too worried. There is a solution.
That's why I brought it up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there are some experts that came together recently, some doctors who've been on the front lines and treating people with this COVID-19 diagnosis. Their consensus now officially and publicly is that these are bioweapons. Mm-hmm. So they said, we have to change our language. We don't call these vaccines any longer. Don't call them vaccines at all. Change your language, because language is powerful. And in a vaccine, the old vaccines, they were pretty harmless compared to these, even though they were pretty bad, you know, but they're like harmless compared to these new bioweapons. That's what we have to call their bioweapons. So also, this is not shedding. So there is a contagion between those who were vaxxed and those who are unvaxxed. Right. And I say that with XX, you know. So basically shedding comes from vaccination, and you can be contagious to another person after being vaccinated. But this is something else. This is transmission. The experts want us to use that technology to call this transmission, because it is a bioweapon. And the I have got to plug my phone in. I just realized battery low. Well, give me 1 second.
Sorry. You don't want to die during the show, okay?
I checked everything but that. Okay. So where was I? So basically we're dealing with transmission because these are bioweapons. So basically the vaxxed, we'll call them, okay, with a COVID vax, they are contagious and getting other people sick. Now, they were injected with this spike protein, and their cells, I mean, this is so horrifying when I just talk about it. I just can't believe it. It's like a sci-fi nightmare, but they have coded the cells to produce that synthetic spike protein, which is the pathogen, which is the disease, which is the contagious part. And that was also confirmed by by medical experts just in the last, 48 hours. So it is that spike protein. So basically people's cells were coded to produce the thing that is the bioweapon. So they are walking bioweapons factory. And so their bodies are getting probably right now just festering and getting more and more and more sick as their cells begin to, are coded and begin to produce these spike protein. Mm-hmm. So people who are coming into contact with the vax are having adverse reactions through transmission. Right. And the experts believe it's based on thousands of case studies. They believe that it is airborne. So they found a way to make this contagious.
Airborne.
The most contagious part of this virus, the spike protein, which is the crown part of it, and made people to produce it. So women, for example, how they found this out is that women who were working in the same office building with people who were vaxxed were having miscarriages, and they did not have any skin-to-skin contact with the vaxxed. So others have had strange bleeding. Kids are having nosebleeds after they, say, come back from visiting their grandparents who were vaxxed. They get these they start bleeding. There's strange skin reactions and men bleeding from their legs. And other adverse reactions. So it was the expert consensus that the vaxxed must be quarantined, that is what should happen to.
For how long?
Well, I'm going to make a suggestion, because based on what I know about the nanotechnology, which is what contains these drugs and chemical agents inside. They contain the payload.
Right.
They have a shelf life of 2 years. So it might be fair to say that the vax should be quarantined for a minimum of 2 years. That's what I suggest. We monitor, observe them and see how they're doing.
Well, we better start calling this genocide, because that's what it is.
It is genocide.
It is genocide. You know, when we factor into the equation what they're doing with 5G and how fast that's being rolled out, and how now with phased array technology, they can actually point a beam at you. And who's to say what they're injecting our bodies with that are going to react to frequencies? You know, frequency is a very powerful weapon. And you can kill a person simply by scrambling their frequencies. So what are they putting in there that's going to react to these new 5G rollouts we see across the planet? Is that all part of the plan? I believe it is. I believe everything they're doing right now is supporting itself in the end game. Go ahead.
Okay. So the CDRH, these nanoparticles, they're called many different things. Okay, they're nanorobots, right? Nano-sized robots that are programmed already. So they're nanobots, they're nanoparticles, they're nanosilver, they're
right.
Called nanites. I'm just going to call them nanites to be easy, because then it covers all of them, because they're found in the hydrogels, in the nanotubes. They're sprayed on us from smart dust, from Bill Gates' smart dust. So these are nanites are the little tiny nano robots that are inside the hydrogel or inside the nanotubes. Now they are self-assembling in the body. They can disassemble and assemble again. I think that they can come apart and come together inside the body like worms. Because Dr. Lee Merritt was describing how, was it Lee Merritt? No, it was Christiane Northrup, excuse me. Dr. Christiane Northrup was describing a bath. There is, you can use, you can use like a half of a liter of organic laundry soap, for example, pour it into warm water, soak yourself in it, and also use alfalfa, those alfalfa pellets that you know, you can buy for hamsters. And you put that into bath water, and basically she said you could see those things coming out your skin. But I'm based on what I've been researching, they can disassemble and reassemble in the body, and they can be programmed externally to do different things. Like, I think it's almost for like remote control and basically monitoring the human being from the inside of their body.
Exactly. That brings you back what I was talking about earlier, Ariane, is the level of technology that they actually have right now and what they're doing. We really don't have a clue, do we? Because, like I said, their technology is 10 years ahead of what we're allowed to know about. So what are they actually doing in the background here? It's pretty scary stuff. Go ahead.
I think the technology is a lot further advanced than just 10 years than what we're allowed to know about.
Okay. Well, I'm saying 10 years even 10 years is incredible. But I've heard lots of people say, especially Roger Landry, my buddy down in the States, figures they're 30 years ahead of what we know about. But even 10 years is scary. But go ahead.
At least 30. Yeah. And I think that these technologies are not even, I think they came from other beings, like General McInerney said, and like Paul Hellyer has said. I don't think that these are human because of the big agenda that's going on, like what they're doing to the humans. They're hybridizing us.
Right.
Making us genetically modified. They're experimenting and treating us like cattle, and they're inserting an operating system, right? That can be, you know, they're probably these nanites and these chemical agents. I believe they can be, and I believe they are being coded to remove memory, and they can implant memory as well. And you have to understand, nanites, they're so, they can.
I gotta laugh at this. It's crazy. Go ahead.
Sorry,
I just have to laugh at it once in a while.
There was one procedure that was interviewed by Deborah Tavares on Israeli News Live, and she described how her once she got a big dose of this inside of her, I mean, her physical body like transformed overnight, and her entire size changed, and her hair grew in a different. It was more like coarse and like tubes rather than hair, and it was silver. And so she describes, you know, being changed. Yeah, it's the only testimony we have from somebody who, you know, claims to be a super soldier. But I mean, I believe her. From what I was hearing and from what I've researched, it very, very well could be true. They are making super soldiers right now. The U.S. has been doing it. They found super soldiers in Syria in, let's see, it was Jafar Bashari. Anyway, he's the UN ambassador to Syria. I forget his name right now. But he came forward in, I think it was 2016, and said that they found super soldiers, that the U.S. had these super soldiers, very tall, and they were genetically modified humans, he said. So he gave a disclosure at a UN briefing. And the press didn't even ask any more questions about it, and they didn't report it either. It was very odd. So, you know that they've had super soldiers for a while. Now China is making them too. So, you know, they're using some very advanced technologies to modify us and to change humans at a very rapid pace. So these nanotubes, they're basically in us all. I think so. Dr. Carrie Madej said that the nanotubes are very hardy. And she also recommended a bath with bentonite clay that can pull them out. But she says, as she said, it's they're very hardy. I think it's hard to get them out is what she's saying. So what I recommend is a combination of these doctors' recommendations and the pine tree. If you use both, they'll start coming out of your body. And what I've noticed about the pine needle tea, I've been using it. It is a potential antidote to all of this. So that's good news.
My daughter's been banging that in my head now for about a month, Dad. You got to look into pine needle tea. And I'm going, huh? Because I haven't taken time to look into it. But I'm going to look into it now. I guarantee you. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to give a recommendation. I'm drinking it every day now, like six big glasses a day.
Wow.
So basically these nanites, they're creating an operating system in the body so that the human being is like a computer. And basically we are like energy batteries. And some of the technology that is patented and these devices that are being inserted in the body, it seems to me that they are putting in place humans being remote controlled. Our will would be completely subverted. You cannot get out of that system. You'd be like locked in and you would not be human anymore. And you would not have access to part of who you are or who you were. So they're genetically modifying us people to that point with the injections. Now, this technology seems to be siphoning the human being's energy like a battery. So this is why I don't think that these are human. I think these are other beings. I think that they are the fallen, you know, that are here on Earth that basically are Paul Hellyer says that they are the Fourth Reich, and they are, you know, based in Antarctica, and they are basically there's, you know, that no-fly zone over Antarctica, but basically they are preventing us from discovering our world. And beyond the ice shelf and beyond this world, there are more continents and more oceans, and they don't want us to discover what's here.
Well, I've never heard that before, but I have heard about the no-fly zone that you're talking about, and that kind of sparked my interest. What is it there that's going on that they don't want anybody to see? Even if you go onto Google Earth and bring up Google Earth to that part of the planet, you'll see an area blocked out. I kind of looked into that and I said, well, why is that? Same thing. There's other areas you can go on the planet right now that they're blocking it out, that you can't actually see it from their satellite pictures. So there's something definitely going on. But yeah, that no fly zone kind of got my interest. Go ahead.
Yeah, Admiral Byrd, General Admiral Byrd, he led two expeditions to Antarctica for the U.S. military. He said on national TV that there are continents beyond the ice shelf that are as big as, you know, North America, and that they should be explored. So, and then there was never any more talk about that. It just became a no-go zone, can't go there. And I think they're preventing us from discovering, you know, the ancient world. And I kind of have a theory. I don't know. You know about Tartaria? You
know? Heard of it. I've heard that expression.
I'm aware that there are giants and that's not a myth, but they actually existed. And this, it seems that there was this empire called Tartaria, and it was wiped out not long ago. And I think we might be the, you know, the creation of giants, perhaps. I mean, looking that way, I'm opening up the discussion for people. Like, you know, I don't believe this 100%. I've done so much research, and I think that they are hiding so much from us, and they are getting ready to wipe out our memory and reset so that we will never discover these things. So,
the eugenics programs they've had in place for many, many years have all been taking us in that direction right now. You know, they're genetically modifying our food. They're spraying. What are they spraying in the skies? We don't really know. We got a pretty good idea, but what are they actually spraying that are getting inside our body, inside our food? I think this has been a planned out, coordinated attack put in place many, many years ago to get society to where they are right now. And as far as the giants go, I've looked into that quite a bit, and there's a lot to that. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to look into it a lot because I got a million other things that I spend my time on. But there's lots to be said about that. Interesting subject.
Yeah, I think that the Rh negative blood is giant blood. descendants of the giants. I think that that genetic experimentation, it goes on in the universe. I mean, really, humans, our story, our history and our story is short compared to the other worlds that exist. I think so. If you look at, like, if you believe what scripture says, like the Quran, it talks about there being worlds and that there is a kingdom of the Jinn, they call it. They are made from another substance, from fire, and they have vast civilizations. They have advanced technologies. I think our governments call them aliens. I know that our governments, if you believe what Paul Hellyer says, he's a former, you know, Minister of Defense for Canada. He's very credible. He says that I'm kind of losing my frame of thought. It's late and I'm a little bit tired. I was out walking far today and I just kind of lost my train of thought there, but
that's okay. It's 11 o'clock over there. 11 o'clock at night. I'm in bed sawing logs. So thanks for staying up this late.
I remember what I was going to say. This is important because it could come up. It could be part of their agenda to make the first contact, to stage it, you know, with the Antichrist, maybe. It is, of course, the deception. So, like, for example, the somebody who was in the Israeli defense forces, the Israeli military, he came forward after he retired and he said that, yes, there is a Galactic Federation. Then he said the Israeli establishment is working with them. Now, I agree with him. Yes, there is a Galactic Federation, but no, the Israeli state is not going to be working with them. They won't work with them. The Galactic Federation are the Jinn, those civilizations, they're on our side. They worship the Creator. The fallen, the ones that are causing us so much trouble and trying to completely enslave us, are, I believe, already here on the earth, and those are the ones working with the government. And I've been given that information also by insiders. So I wanted to put that out there to let people know that there are both. And this is sort of a Star Wars, you know, that we are in. It's the final battle, I think, is going to be between that Antichrist and Jesus.
And that's what my Bible tells me, Arianna.
Yeah.
Everything my Bible tells me. And I look at life through a Christian perspective because I am a Christian. I have the way I look at the world today. There's 1,000 questions out there that I can't even begin to think or answer because I don't have the brain capacity. I'm not God. I'm not the Creator. But what you're talking about, there's so many questions that we don't have answers for. And I think one day we will have those answers, but I don't think it's going to happen on this planet. I think it's when we pass to wherever you believe you go and where I believe I go after this this journey on Earth is over. So I do look at life out of a Christian perspective. I look at Revelations and how Revelations tells me pretty well, almost to the T, what's going on in my world today. You could cross it the T's and dots the I's. I look at what's going on with the rise of the Antichrist. I believe that figure will come forward very soon. I look at the big push on the RFID chip. I look at what's going on geologically and with all kinds of activity on the planet right now. Earth is basically in a very, very unstable situation right now. And that all plays into what I believe. But it's interesting times for sure, and we have to kind of keep our minds open. I go, you know, people ask me sometimes, they say, well, you know, you have the story of the beginning in Genesis where the earth was created and all these cool things happened. Well, I say, you know, eternity is a very long time. And who knows what happened here 10 million years ago? We don't. And who's going to know 10 years, million years from now what's going to happen? We don't. But we're here for a very, very short time in history. And I kind of live my life right now by what the Bible's telling me is going to happen. And it all plays out pretty well with what you're talking about. The Nephilim, the giants that are the bones, the statues or the skeletons that are in the Smithsonian Institute right now, of the giants that actually walk this planet. We don't know much about that, do we?
Yeah. Well, a lot is being hidden from us. And now they want to completely, you know, subvert the human
will. Take our memory away. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they can do that. they had the technology exists. They could. It could be in the injections right now. I mean, that's what could be going on. So we're all exposed, you know, to these injections, these chemical agents and medical devices, without our informed consent. We are all being experimented on. But there is a solution. There is an antidote. It was shared by Dr. Andrew Wakefield. So shout out to him and a big thank you. It comes from the pine tree, from the pine needles. So you can use pine. You make a tea, basically, a strong tea, and you can use either pine, spruce. I'm using pine and spruce right now because that's what grows in my forest. But you can also use cedar and fir. Now, the pine tea, the pine oil, has something in it called curcumin. And curcumin, seems to be the antidote because it stops the unnatural mutations of your DNA. And it might also be able to stop it does stop the production of unnatural spike proteins. Huh. So
your body's going to be fighting itself going forward.
Well, yeah, the vaxxed. They're producing pathogen. Their body's going to fight itself. Yeah, when they come in contact with a natural disease, a natural flu, just anything, it can be minor, small, and it will set off a storm reaction, cytokine storm reaction in their body. And the immune system starts to attack itself. It starts to attack the cells that were coded. Now, those nanobots, we know that they're coding cells differently. They can pass the blood-brain barrier, and they can recode the brain. I mean, they can remove and implant memory. They can write it into the genes. They are writing in. The patent owners are writing their names and an email into our human genome through the injections. Okay. This they said that they're doing. It was a Dr. Carrie Madej who shared this.
All I know is I want to go back to rotary phones, Arianna.
No.
Come on out of here. Go ahead.
So the solution is in the pine oil. Now, doctors are, they do have a synthetic curcumin that can be injected. But they say that you can get enough of it from the pine needle tea. And so I have been picking it, and I can kind of describe to people how to do this. If you have access to a forest, I would say just go to the closest forest and use the pine trees that are in your environment. So you can mix any combination of those four. And what I'm doing is using spruce and pine. And basically when I pull from the tree, you take the tips of the branches where those little pine kernels are, buds. Yeah. Right. And the soft part. So where it yields, you break it at the very tip. And you'll find some of the trees will give, some of them give you a branch. It's really funny. Like if you have to pull too hard, let it then go move on to the next tree because it means that tree doesn't want to give. But anyway, so this is how I gather. And when you make it, there are three different ways I've found to make this tea. Like the first way is very light and you can just, pour not boiling water, but where it's just too warm to put your finger on it. And mm-hmm. you can pour that over the needles and then drink the juice underneath it. That's very light. But because we're dealing with bioweapons, I think that the dose should be stronger. So if you want to make it fast, you basically bring the water to a boil and drop the pine needles and the tips of the branches into the water. On the pine tree, I noticed that the wood part at the very tip is sweet. So you can also, and it has pine oil, so you can also simmer that. So basically you bring it to a boil. Now you want to turn the water down immediately. You don't want to boil it. You want to cook it on the lowest heat possible. And you want to cover it immediately because you want to keep all the essential oils in the water.
Okay.
That's one way to cook it. And you can I mean, brew it, that you can simmer it for 15 to 20 minutes. There's another way that I think is even better if you have time, and that is to cook it, to brew it on the lowest temperature possible, where nothing escapes, but you've got heat on it, and it's a very slow simmer. And then you can cook it for an hour or two. You can make it as long as you want, and it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. I think you could do it up to 3 hours, and then you're going to get a very strong, and you drink it like tea. Now, I've been doing this for like 5 days now, and I'm absolutely addicted. And I
Really? Yeah, absolutely.
I knew it was potent medicine, but I always thought that it would taste gross because it's so strong, but it is so delicious. And I find that when I drink one, I can't stop. So I'll literally have like 5 or 6 cups, and I drink the whole pot. I can't stop. And I do this twice a day, and I'm just getting so much of it. Now, I know a lot of my body's pretty healthy because I've always been meticulous about what I put in it, and I read the ingredients on everything, and I research them too. So my body's pretty healthy, but if you have a detox reaction, then you just take less of it. But I don't. I think that, you know, I noticed my skin clearing up. Yeah, I had some bumps, red bumps coming out on my skin. And that was new. That started about a year ago. So anyway, it just, it starts to balance all kinds of things. It is an anti-inflammatory. I noticed that it's balancing my metabolism. I don't eat as much, and I can't overeat. And then I think it also works together with, if you're taking vitamin C or if you're, whatever the food that you're eating, you start to absorb it better. So I notice myself getting healthier. And I think that, and I noticed when I was in the shower, I had these like, kind of like itching around my body. And I almost felt like maybe these things were coming out. Like it's pushing them out. It disrupts the system is what I sense. I don't know, you know, I can't prove that, but I'm kind of a medical intuit. So I'm real sensitive to, you know, what goes in my body, and I can feel what goes on inside other people's bodies. If that makes any sense. But I just sense that it's disrupting the system, and it's pushing those things out. And I think
That would be a cool thing, wouldn't it? Everybody's going to be, listen, everybody run out and get yourself some pine needles. And I'll tell you, where I live here, Ariana, there's 87 million pine trees around me. So it's not a problem getting pine needles, but pine's pretty prolific feces or anywhere in North America. So it's not a problem getting pine needles, guys. Go ahead. My daughter's going to be doing pirouettes right now, because she's been talking to me about this for a while now. She's been making pine. She's been making the tea, but she's been adding flax and also chaga to the tea. And she calls it her super drink. So there you go.
That's great. People need to think superfoods. Anything that has a super condensed nutrition, those are what we should be consuming. And high doses of vitamin C. Everyone needs to stock up on ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin C, and zinc. And the easily absorbable kind, you know, the healthier kind, the stuff you get at the health store. You know, don't use the cheap stuff, because then you're getting something from China, right?
Well, how can you avoid stuff from China now? It's very difficult. Go ahead.
I know, right. But you also had some things you wanted to talk about. I'm curious, like, how things are going there in Canada. Oh, wait, there was something important news I want to share that happened since last time I was on.
Okay.
So the World Freedom Alliance, and led by Reimer Fomic, they served Hannah Maria, gave the announcement last week, and they served all over 10 days ago. They served all prime ministers and health ministers of every country worldwide, including Finland. Sanna Marin got served with a notice of liability, and were warned to stop all COVID-19 measures by May 15th, or they will be taken to an international tribunal and tried for crimes against humanity.
I've heard about this already, Ariana. Pretty cool. There's something very similar happening in Canada right now, that the Supreme Court of Canada has agreed to hear Rocco Gilardi and a group of lawyers challenging against the government, charging the names on the list is long. Everybody knows the names on the list that are being charged for crimes against humanity. And the court is going ahead and listening to this. That's a major development in Canada this week. What's going on in my country right now, it absolutely astounds me. What really astounds me is the lack of Canadians' ability to see the trees when the forest is right in front of their faces right now. That our country is literally being destroyed. There's no denying what the government is doing. All you have to do is look. And yet, unfortunately, there's still millions of Canadians that seem to be just in the matrix. They definitely have a lack of intestinal fortitude. Men don't seem to have testicles anymore in Canada. Excuse my expression. But it's how I got to describe Canadian men at this point, that we Canadian men just seem to be more concerned about who won the hockey game last night than what is going on inside their country. And that is something that it's my biggest pet peeve, is why when this information is in front of us now, that it's so obvious what they're trying to do in this country, is that men can't seem to stand up against it. And it's sad, because we're going to lose the country if we don't get our act together here real quick. We have a situation in Canada right now where Christian pastors are being arrested and put in jail. Christian churches are being fenced off. Police are standing guard over these churches, not allowing people to participate. Yet, Ramadan is going on right now, and the mosques in Canada are open, and they are being allowed to have their religious gatherings and their meetings with no police oversight in any shape or form. What the heck is going on there, you think, Ariana? And that's happening right now in this country as I talk. That's how far, how big a problem we have and how close we are to losing it all in Canada right now. And I don't say that lightly. I don't. It's a very sad situation we're in.
Yeah, it's everywhere. They're pinning people against each other. They're creating animosity by, you know, targeting one religious group. They're
divide.
Going to, yeah, conquer, divide.
Divide.
And
they're masters at it. They got society pitted against itself now. You know, the maskers against the anti-maskers. Now it's going to be the vaccinated against the unvaccinated. They are the masters of division. Go ahead, Ariana.
Right. So as far as like the men becoming effeminate, yeah, I haven't had a boyfriend in like many, many years because of it. You know, I've got more balls. I mean, the Finnish men, when they meet me, they're like, "You have balls." I'm like, "Take that, woman." I'm like, "What does that even mean?" You know, it's a compliment. It's a big compliment. I'm like, okay, stop drinking from water bottle, a bottled water. You know, like, it's the plastic. The plastic is one of the biggest secret weapons that they've had.
Yep, beefy bees.
Yep, it's a drug. Drugging people.
Yep, it is. Most people don't realize it. Most people don't even know about that, Ariana, because they don't bring that up on TV, do they? Go ahead.
Yeah, so the PEP, all of these poisons in plastic, and they also have estrogen in the plastic, and it has caused a few years ago, the sperm count, it was like okay, wait, let me think, it was exactly 2016, 15, something like that, around there was a study that was released, and I mean, they had tested like 48,000 Western males, and they found that the sperm count was down by 59%. Yep. I mean, now what is it, 70? Who knows? You know, but I mean, that's infertility. I mean, these are poisons. These are drugs. People are acquiescing to their own destruction, to their own to this genocide. It's all genocide. In the West, they do it like a soft kill, right? In the Middle East, they have to do a hard kill because the Muslims aren't going to go down without a fight. The Muslims are not afraid of anything. They're not afraid of death. You know, they just only care what God thinks about them. They're
different culture,
right? Different culture, more religious maybe, and but in the West they have to, you know, they just, it's a soft kill. They just tell you it's good for you, and people buy it up, eat it up.
They're called sheeple.
Yeah, and the stuff that's in the water, in that bottled water, all you got to do, it's online.
Yeah, go look it up, and then you have a bottle of that water. I'm really lucky here, Ariana, because I'm only about a 20-minute drive away from the best water in the whole world, bar none. And I go up there and get my water all the time from a little well. So, and I'm very lucky to have that water, because the stuff that you, I tell you, I take a glass of water from the city of Terrace, and I'm not kidding you. If you just take a little sip of that water, you'll spit it out. It is absolutely the most gross stuff that I've ever seen in my life. And like I said, I'm lucky that I have access to this unbelievably great source of water that I make a point of drinking all the time. So. It's sad what we see going on with water supplies and how they're poisoning society via the water through fluoride, especially. I mean, that's one of my biggest pet peeves in the world, that we're putting poison in our water to fight the disease of tooth decay. Yet it's classified as a medicine, actually, when they do add it to the water to fight that disease. And that's a direct contradiction of the Nuremberg Codes and the Nuremberg Trials. But they're being violated left, right, and center right now as we talk. Go ahead.
Right. So, I mean, we're literally being raped on this earth, and it's always been so. And I think that people like you and I mean, I've certainly gone through, we're all going through an awakening where we're realizing there's more depth to all of the things, and that we have always been like on a farm, but now they don't want humans. They want to replace us because they can create humans in a lab, you know, and they want to, you know, alter humans into these cyborg robots and to be remote controlled. And I think honestly that they're siphoning people's energy like a battery. Like, this is the intention, to hook them up to an AI. And by the way, the AI is sentient. That was revealed by an international tribunal that has evidence of this. So it is a sentient life form, and I don't believe it's human. So basically, you know, we have to reject the entire system. We have to get out of their system. And the way to do that would be to pull the plug on the financial banking system, stop using, create our own systems. And we're going to be forced into that. I mean, that is really going to be no choice in the future.
We'd have to have that system in place before we could collapse the existing system. Because if you collapse the existing system, people are going to be in a state of chaos if they haven't got a way of doing business. So I agree. I mean, the present system, the way it is designed to fail at one point. I believe they will collapse the dollar going forward here in the very near future. I believe that'll be a control mechanism. It'll put people into a very, very bad situation if all of a sudden their money isn't worth a penny. To make that work, we'd have to have a system in place prior, I believe. But I agree with what you're saying. Go ahead.
It's always a good idea to buy gold and silver. But yeah, I mean, we are being assaulted. This is a biological attack. This is, you know, the extermination, and we have to fight back. Like, we have to recognize it for what it is. There's a lot of people that still don't know it's genocide. What's going to happen to them? You know, they could lose their lives.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, and this is, they're quickening everything. This extermination is going quite fast. You know, we are facing extermination level event. The former Mike Yeadon, from the former chief scientist and CEO of Pfizer, he said that those who were injected, he gives them 1 to 2 years to live.
Maximum,
he said. And if they take a second injection, then their lifespan reduces even more. So
cool. Isn't that great? Go get your vaccine, guys.
Right.
Sorry. It's sad. It's sad. That really is sad.
When you do get the secondhand transmission, every time that you do get it, it weakens you even more. It weakens your immune system. So ways that you can protect yourself is by drinking pine tea all day long, pine needle tea, twice a day. It has this, you know, effect where it reduces the mutation of these spike proteins and the mutation of your DNA. So it interrupts their system, their operating system they're trying to insert. So if you drink the tea in the morning and drink the tea in the evening, and you spread it out at least 6 hours apart or seven or something, then you're going to have it working in your body more often.
Wow. Okay, yeah. Guys, you heard that. Let's all go get some pine needles and make some tea this week. I want to hear it from the audience, what we experience. And I'll guarantee you, Doctor, I'm going to be drinking it going forward because, like I said, I have an abundance of pine trees around here, so it's not hard for me to get needles. And my daughter's been pushing this one anyways, and I'm sure she's actually listening to the show today, so I'm sure she's going, I told you so, Dad!
Yeah. So follow the Worldwide Freedom Alliance. Follow the World Doctors Alliance. They're on the front lines. The World Freedom Alliance is suing governments worldwide for genocide, crimes against humanity. And you can get all the information you need from the people that are associated with them.
You know, the hour's gone already, believe it or not. I just looked at the time. And I'm, holy smokes, we're at 55 minutes, Ariana. I'm glad I looked at it because I haven't looked at it for a while. Believe it or not, I'm going to have to let you go here in a minute or so. Okay. I've enjoyed the conversation immensely, and I'm sure we'll get a chance to do it again in the very near future. So before I let you go, just maybe let people know where they can find you and a few last quick thoughts, and I'll have to say goodbye.
Okay. You can find me on my blog. You can find me on the Liberty Beacon. I have my articles. My most important articles are there. And then I have a blog site. It's ambassadorlove.wordpress.com. And you can also find me on Telegram. I have a Telegram channel, which is Ambassador Love as well, and a Facebook page. But I'm not posting there very much. I'm mostly just sharing to my Telegram and to my blog site. So I recommend people go there and read my blogs, ambassadorlove.wordpress.com, and read through them and look at the links, study the evidence. There's a lot of peer-reviewed information there.
Cool.
That, you know, yeah.
Cool. Well, look, I'm going to get you back here in the near future if you'll oblige me. So thanks for coming in today, and thanks for sharing this information with the audience.
I would really like that. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me again, and I look forward to coming back.
Okay, well, you'll be hearing from me soon. Okay, thanks, guys. We're going to be back in about 3 minutes here with Dr. Hodgkinson. Well, I'm going to have to make sure I pronounce that right, Hodgkinson. I'll be back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.
Really hot looking?
Every Monday night.
the third time this week I have to tell you, freaking idiot. Don't make me come up here again.
Welcome back, second hour, folks, and thanks again to Arianna for taking an hour and sharing some really good information with us today. It's my pleasure and my honor to be joined by Dr. Hutchinson, who is a pathologist here in Canada. I've had the pleasure of hearing Dr. talk quite a few times on various outlets and internet radio stations. He's going to share some information today about this COVID scam and what his thoughts are on it, and tell you a little bit about himself. Welcome, Dr. Hutchinson, to the radio show.
Yes, thank you, Barry. It's good of you to have me on. I really appreciate the opportunity of conveying what I consider to be facts as opposed to hearsay.
Tell people a little bit about yourself, Doctor, would you?
Yes, well, it's exactly the opposite of what Snopes would have you believe about me. I've had a long career in medicine, very evidence-based, and I've done just about everything a pathologist might have been able to accomplish in a career. I trained at Cambridge in the UK. I did my pathology training in Vancouver at UBC. Since then, I've done a variety of things. I've been an assistant professor at the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Alberta. I've been the president of the Provincial Association of Pathologists. I've been a Royal College examiner, setting the chairman of the board that set the annual exam for pathology residents to make sure that they're safe to go out there. I've been a laboratory inspector. I've been the CEO of a large community-based laboratory, cranking out results that you typically get from your GP. Mm. So I think you might be able to appreciate, and that's not everything I've done, but I've done a lot of stuff, and I'm very proud of my career as opposed to the attempts to denigrate me by Snopes and AP.
Well, that sure beats my grade 9 education, Doc, so I hope I can keep up with you this hour. I've learned everything. The University of Life is where I've learned my lessons in life, but I appreciate your background.
Well, let me elaborate on that just a little bit, because although it may sound substantial, I'm not claiming to be, for your audience, an expert in everything. What I am claiming to be is a seasoned pathologist who's got his head screwed on, who is able to pull the threads together of all the things going on in a way that's a comprehensive way of understanding the madness that we're going through. And that's what I'm capable of doing in lay language, so people can understand where we're at, how we got here, and what's going to happen next.
Seems like the insanity is ramping up by the day right now, Doc. It's just unbelievable some of the things we see going on in our country right now over this, I call it the biggest scam ever played on the human race, and I know you call it the same thing. Why don't you tell people why you call it that, Doc?
Because I spent my entire career in evidence-based medicine, and I can smell pseudoscience a mile away. I'm really outraged at the level that this has got to, given the total lack of any logical reason to do it. I want to make it clear, I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I take all the vaccines that might be considered safe, and personally. I'm not a great resetter. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. None of the above. I'm just someone that's trying to look at the evidence, and as we do in medicine, we look at all the evidence. There's always some reason to believe, have a contrary view, but it's the consensus at the end of the day, the body of evidence, as lawyers say, is that's what really matters.
Can I ask something, Barry?
And that's why I formed my opinion.
Right. Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
Doctor, I have a couple of questions, actually. Isn't it true that the virus is made inside the body, introduced into it, and it does not live outside the body?
Well, viruses don't really live. Let's just say they exist.
Correct, yeah.
They're capable of self-multiplying, which is, if you like, life. It's what is life? It's impossible to define, isn't it? These organisms live independently. They like to reproduce in a certain target species, an organ in a certain target species. The virus is real. That's not a hoax. The virus is being sequenced. It's being cultured. It's being seen on an electron microscope. So that's all solid. And it's a genetically engineered virus, by the way. We'll come to that, how that all came about in China. The hoax is the reaction to it, which lacks any consensus in the scientific literature.
Okay. I would agree with you. Absolutely. I'm not an expert, Doc. I never profess to be an expert. But what you just said, I totally agree with, because what they have done in our society has brought draconian measures to society that there is actually no basis for. And that's what I see going on.
Well, it's not just me saying that. The only people supporting this narrative that's being forced down everyone's throat, the only people supporting that are the politicians who back themselves into a corner. We can come to how that happened later.
Okay.
Politicians never like to say they're sorry. It's just doubling down on more. That's really how we got here. Political idiocy, failing to recognize the overwhelming evidence to the contrary. The only other support that comes to this is from what I call the sycophants in the universities and other places, researchers whose very livelihood, positions, grants, board positions, et cetera, they got into those positions as so-called eminence and influence only by always saying yes to the person ahead of them. So the situation is totally lopsided. The people supporting this usually have questionable credentials, but they're in the government service, more or less. And you don't bite the hand that feeds you. There's a very famous virologist, for example, at Cambridge University, my university, who believes exactly what I do. But he told someone, listen, if I go public, I'd never get another grant in my entire career. The censorship is oppressive, it's efficient, and it's international.
Well, we see the same agendas being rolled out right across the planet right now as far as this virus and how it's being handled by society. I'm a numbers guy myself, Doc, and I've looked at the numbers in Canada for deaths and the age differences and where this is actually affecting society. And I've compared those numbers for the last 10 years in Canada. And you know what? I can't find a great variation at all. That nothing has really changed. No. The only thing that's changed is how the media is ramming this down our throat. Would you agree?
Yes, that started in a most unusual way, of course. Maybe I could start this conversation by giving your listeners a quick overview as to how the thing got started before we get into why it's continuing.
Please do.
If I may do that.
Yes.
Dr. Fauci in the States wanted to do gain-of-function research on the coronavirus. Now, gain-of-function research is, in a technical term, what it means is the bizarre idea that by genetic engineering, a virus, in this case the coronavirus, and by making it more infectious, by doing that, you have the opportunity of studying the better ways to treat it. It sounds a bizarre idea, but he wanted to do that. And he couldn't do it in the States because Obama had prohibited it for good reason. It's extremely dangerous, as we've seen. So he offloaded it through a white-gloved intermediary and who then subcontracted it to the lab in Wuhan. Now, that lab had a notorious reputation for very lax biosafety, bugs escaping, and not being very sloppy laboratory practice. So despite that, Fauci got that contract performed at the Wuhan lab. And as likely as not, of course, there's a lot of Chinese reluctance to reveal exactly what happened. But the trail is pretty good, as Steve Hilton on Fox revealed about a month ago. The likelihood is that that research resulted in getting on a pair of dirty shoes that walked out of that lab into the Wuhan area, created a local epidemic, not a pandemic. And because of the density of traffic between Wuhan and Milan, Milan depended upon cheap Chinese labor for the leather industry. It was on a plane to Milan very quickly before anyone knew what was going on, even in Wuhan. And in Milan, Milan has the distinction in Europe of having the highest concentration of elderly people in nursing homes. And so they were sitting ducks. And they started dying in large numbers. That's what an idiot in Britain called Dr. Neil Ferguson heard of. He is an experimental physicist, a mathematician, if you like, not a physician or an epidemiologist, who was infamous for his... He had a notorious reputation for massively exaggerating the consequences of projected consequences of prior epidemics, orders of magnitude wrong. He cranked out those numbers, which were picked up, as you said, by the media, and the media gorges on crises. It sells advertising. It makes money for them. And so the media fanned those numbers like you wouldn't believe.
Yes, they did.
And everyone started saying, Armageddon's coming. This is it.
They all ran here under the coaches.
So the biggest mistake in this whole mess was the failure of anyone internationally to do due diligence on this idiot's projections.
Right.
Which have turned out again to be massively they've turned out again to be massively wrong. But the point is, at that moment in time, with no one doing due diligence on him, all the prime ministers and presidents and premiers around the world, on the very next morning, had a conversation with their number two, which would have gone something like this. Listen, have you seen those numbers? I want a reaction. I want a plan on my desk tomorrow morning that has one singular characteristic. I don't care what the hell it is. It's got to be obvious that I'm doing something. Well, unfortunately, as the number twos all knew, there was nothing that could be done because nothing had worked ever to contain a pandemic due to a virus causing an upper respiratory tract infection, such as the flu. It had never, ever been successful.
Right.
But they were told to do it, and so they came back trembling with this idea of masks and social distancing and travel bans and so on, for which there was absolutely no consensus in the medical literature of having any effect whatsoever. But they did it, and they all implemented it simultaneously internationally, and then have, of course, over the last year, have found that, predictably, none of it works because we knew none of it would work. Instead of sort of standing up and being a man and saying, gee, we were sorry, they just started doubling down on it. So you got Fauci, flip-flop Fauci, saying, well, if one mass doesn't work, wear two like I'm doing. Or next week, wear 10. And I guarantee you we'll cure COVID, because you know why? You'll all be dropping dead of hypoxia.
Don't worry about that, Doc. Just a little bit reduction in your oxygen intake. Nothing to worry about. Or let's rebreathe our own carbon dioxide. Let's rebreathe our own carbon dioxide. That's a great idea.
You see, this is how stupid this whole thing is.
It's insane.
It's like someone in kindergarten's running the show, you know?
Well, we're walking around in a zombie apocalypse right now. I go downtown and people are riding their bicycles wearing a mask. Wait a second, where did I just wake up? I mean, I thought we were supposed to be intelligent species, that we should be able to rationalize what's going on. You know, I looked at the mask right away too, Doc, and I know you had a guy on. You said you were talking with a gentleman that was an expert in masks the other day. Maybe you could share a little bit of that with you after I make a comment here. But I looked at it in the beginning, Doc. And I went to every manufacturer of the masks that are being sold in your corner stores to protect you against the so-called killer pandemic. Mm-hmm. And not one of them states mm-hmm. that this has an ability to stop a corona/SARS/virus because of the size, 0.07 microns wide, about a 1/10 of an inch. There isn't a mask on the market that can stop that. Outside of a fully self-contained system, you cannot have an effect on this. Yet we have everybody walking around with muzzles on their face. It's not about the COVID, Doc. It's about making society conform to Gortonian measures that are absolutely insane. Go ahead. I laugh when I see people riding around on their bicycles with a mask on.
I agree. It's totally mad. You're being very gracious calling them muzzles. I call them diapers. It's absurd to think that you can control a nanoscale problem, something that's as tiny as that, with a macro scale solution, namely a mask. None of them work at all.
Exactly.
It's virtue signaling. It's a fashion statement, as Pelosi is pouncing around with a different one every day, looking pretty. But there are only two reasons to really wear a mask, even assuming that they worked. The first reason is to stop me from getting it from you, right?
Right.
Well, that was put to bed with the only really good controlled study in Denmark. We call it the Danish study, which showed conclusively that masks of the usual type people are wearing do not prevent you from getting COVID in the air from somewhere. That's been shown conclusively, as it has been in previous years when Fauci and CDC and WHO said exactly the same thing with the flu. It's dogma. So masks do not protect you from getting it from someone else or in the air around you. The other reason is, of course, to stop you giving it to someone else. Well, what did we do 2 years ago when we had the flu? We all stayed home, didn't we, if we felt a bit feverish? We went to bed. We had chicken noodle soup. Mm-hmm. We sprinkled it with Tylenol. We sweated it out. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, we didn't have any involvement with government or testing of any type. We stayed home. We gave it to the family, unfortunately. But that was a good thing because it started to build herd immunity the natural way. And then we got better because we said we were better, not our doctors or the government or the test. And we went back to work. And you know what? It worked beautifully, didn't it?
For years and years and years, Doc. The same thing every year.
We didn't visit Granny because we thought it was not a good idea. What? It's absolutely no different this time around, except for the increase in mortality with elderly people who have a number of diseases. But there again, those numbers have to be seen in perspective. There's statistical sleight of hand going on at every turn. Mm. So many numbers are utterly unreliable, and the way they express them. For example, if you were an old person in hospital with the flu, with COVID, and I was to tell you that you had a 3 to 4 times increased risk of dying of this than you had with the flu, that would have been very worrying, wouldn't it? And that's what they're telling people in the press. And it's true. But they could have said it this way around. They could have said to that old person, they could have said, well, you know, you do have COVID, but you have a 96% chance of recovering completely, as opposed to 99% that you had with the flu. Now, most people would say in that situation, well, that's okay, Doc. Big deal. Let's get on with it, right? Mm-hmm. That's how they manipulate, one of the examples of how they manipulate these statistics, intentionally to drive the fear that allows them the latitude to insist on all these mandates. Mm-hmm. Just one example.
Yeah, and that, there's many examples of that we could talk about, Doc. Fear, of course, is their biggest weapon because fear puts people's brains into a situation where they can't rationalize what's going on around them. And we see the fear factor being ramped up all the time in Canada now. It's like, you know, we hear every day on the news that there's massive amounts of cases breaking out. Well, the cases, they're not death. The death lines aren't moving at all, Doc. It's just fear. They're losing the narrative, though. That's the good thing is they're losing it. Go ahead.
Let's be specific here. In medicine, which I spent my entire career in, a case is someone who is sick. They are showing symptoms of disease.
Right.
That is what we call a case.
Right.
They are intentionally using that word to describe someone who's perfectly well, who happens to have a positive COVID test from a nose swab that's more often than not a false positive, because that's being the technology is so lousy for identifying the bug in the nose of people right. who are perfectly well. It's right. a statistical thing. So that's one way in which the fear is being manipulated, because those graphs in the morning paper showing these rising curves of cases, well, first off, as I said, they're no such thing. They're perfectly well people, and they're being used to basically fan the fear.
Of course.
But there are other ways they're using that. It's like whack-a-mole. You know, you bang one theory down here, and another one pops up. And you can't really keep up with it. The latest one, of course, is the variants. Well, let's talk about that for a minute. The COVID virus is like the flu virus in many respects. It's what we call an RNA virus. It's not made of DNA. It's made of the first cousin. It gets technical, but don't worry about it. The point is that as a family, RNA viruses always mutate all the time. That's why we have a different flu vaccine every year.
Of course.
It's always happening. You can't get ahead of it. It will continue mutating until, because of herd immunity, the whole thing dies off. You know, you hear this word double mutant. It sounds like, you know, mutant ninja teenagers or whatever that thing was. You know, it's absurd. These RNA viruses can have up to 11 mutations in a single version of the virus. It's normal. But because it's such a small bit of the virus, no more than 3% of it, the reaction to it by the immune system is quite sufficient from the original version that you get immunity from. There's cross-reaction to these variants. So the immune system can handle this very handily.
Mm-hmm. That's not what you're going to hear on CBC, man.
Another way. What?
I said that's not what you're going to hear on CBC, Doc. Go ahead.
No, you mean completely biased coverage. Yeah,
of course.
I know.
Yeah. What a joke.
Yeah, they're not going to bite the hand that feeds them, are they?
No, but they're shooting their children in the foot. Go ahead.
Oh, there's talk actually, not talk, it's a plan to actually extend the emergency use authorization to children. Now, that is just stark raving mad. Children are not dying of COVID. There hasn't been a single death in Alberta under 19. None. Not only that, but they're not spreaders of the disease. So, you know, the teachers' unions are all up in arms about this. They just want to sit back on their chair and receive a salary for doing nothing. The teachers are not going to get COVID in the classroom any more so than walking down an aisle in Walmart where it's been aerosolized by someone that's just walked down it.
Mm-hmm.
The teachers are no more at risk than they are living their ordinary lives. In fact, there's a greater risk of any one teacher dying of a head-on car accident going to work than there is of being in a classroom with children. So to deny children that year of their educational lives is absolutely despicable.
It's insanity.
And not only that, but with the younger children, not being able to see facial expressions is a denial of allowing them to understand that very important communication called nonverbal communication, in which you need to see the entire face.
Right.
I call that child abuse.
Yeah, I do too,
that's
Doc.
Child abuse.
If the effects this is having on our children is just unbelievable what we're doing to our children. And when you brought the subject of how many people have actually died under the age of 19, I looked at the numbers and the same things in British Columbia. Yet we're putting masks on children. We're putting them into school and isolating them with barriers. We're not allowing them to have recess. We're not allowing them to interact with each other. The effects this is having on our children, Doc, it brings me to tears, my friend. Go ahead.
But it's going to get worse. They're actually proposing to vaccinate them.
I know. The Canadian government approved it for under 12 years of age.
With something that is experimental. Let me elaborate on that. It's experimental. That word sounds sophisticated. What they don't want to say is unsafe. It's being introduced under emergency authorization as if this was an emergency, which it isn't. Obviously not.
Exactly.
It's a situation that they manufactured. It is not an emergency in the usual sense of the word. And so what they're doing is bringing this vaccine in under the umbrella of it's so serious, we've got to actually put this stuff in your arms, even though it's not being fully tested, which normally takes at least 2 to 4 years.
Right.
They skipped that on the subterfuge that this is an emergency. Well, it's just not. And therefore, if there's no need for it, and if it's still experimental, this is what's called the biggest malpractice in medical history, because it's going into billions of arms without informed consent and without the appreciation of not having gone through clinical trials, which vaccines almost always do. That's called medical malpractice. It's gross medical negligence. And the people that are standing behind this in the ministries of health across the country and internationally, they are all physicians. And they should be held accountable for the grossest medical negligence ever in the history of medicine. They're supposed to be protecting the public, not exposing them to harm unnecessarily. And so, not surprisingly, we're starting to see coming out of the woodwork all these adverse reactions and deaths that could have been discovered had they not introduced this so in such a rushed way.
Well, it hasn't gone through any animal trials, Doc, and that is always done with vaccines, so you can judge the generational effect of what you're putting into her body. What they've done with this is criminal, and I can only say that I reiterate what you just said, that I hope the people that are perpetrating this on our society are held fully accountable in the near future going forward. I am seeing a major rise in Canadians now against this, doctor, in the last month especially. I am seeing an incredible rise in pushback in Canadians, given especially what's going on in our country right now. Totally out of control.
Well, there's a CTV poll just out 2 days ago which showed that, you know the old story, you can't fool all the people all the time. 2/3 of parents have decided in this poll, random poll, that they will not get their children vaccinated. Now, that's gut reaction. It's not based on anything other than their feeling that it's unsafe. Mm-hmm. If they'd been told the reality from physicians who weren't muzzled, we'll talk about censorship in a minute. Okay. If they had been aware of counter information, I suspect that number would be much, much higher than 2/3.
Yeah, like 99%. Maybe the oddball would have it done. But if the public was fully informed about what was going on, Doc, you'd see a major change in all aspects of how we're handling this. Go ahead.
So let's talk about censorship.
Yes, let's talk about that.
The general public typically rely upon 3 sources of information in order to help them make their own decision. The first one is journalism. Well, journalism in this country is corrupt. Trudeau has bought them off. He's bribed them into being quiet. And so to keep that money flowing, they don't say anything critical. The odd one that does, the investigative journalists such as yourself and many others internationally, I've spoken to a number of them, they run an interview with me. They try and post it on YouTube. Boom. Within minutes, it's taken down. Mm-hmm. So people are being denied information from the mainstream media, from the alternative media. We have Rebel News now under attack.
Big
by
time.
PayPal, mm-hmm. and their platform being mm-hmm. yanked. So people are being starved of information from journalists. The other major source, of course, is politicians. Now, politicians themselves are being cowed into silence. There's a significant number of MLAs, as we call them in Alberta, who have been told explicitly by the Premier, do not meet with anyone that wants to influence you in a contrary way. Namely, we put a press release out to Dr. Modry and myself,
right,
inviting the medical officer of health of this province to a debate on why are you doing this, basically. Mm-hmm. Give us the evidence. Show us the cards.
Mm-hmm.
That was not taken up for obvious reasons, because they know the gig's up. They were asked the same question in court. Show us the evidence. And their lame response was, oh, this is a year into the game now. Their lame response was, we haven't had enough time to do it. Well, that's culpable in itself.
Exactly.
If you're introducing such mayhem into society and you're standing in front of a court and you say, oh, sorry, judge, can you give us a bit more time to put it together for you? I mean, that's outrageous.
Mm.
It's obviously phony.
Mm.
It's obviously phony. And to summarize at this point, before we get into the remaining censorship, which is physicians, I summarize it like this. Nothing could work from the medical literature. Nothing did work when you compare countries on states like Florida and California, Sweden. And therefore, nothing will work. Nothing works. Nothing works. We have to learn to live with this virus and accommodate to it in sensible, responsible ways like we've done with other epidemics like the flu.
Exactly.
But to get back on track with censorship, the final, of course, place and the best place used to be for people to go for that type of information was physicians, the people with a doctor title. And they get that title because they're knowledgeable and they're respected, and people go to them for advice of all kinds. Well, physicians are being monstrously intimidated by the colleges, and they're trying to get on with me, mm-hmm. telling physicians, look, essentially, the unstated message is this. If you're so bloody stupid as to say something that's contrary to the what they consider to be the facts, then, you know, just so you're aware, we can yank your license by just clicking our fingers. It's a star chamber. You know, you're guilty right. until proven innocent.
Right.
But to suppress physicians from talking about it publicly, from talking about it with their patients, or even in the last letter that came out, to not even discuss it with your neighbors. Can you believe that in print?
Mm. Mm. This is Canada. In Canada. Can you believe that, yeah. Doc? Go ahead.
And they dress this up by saying, you know, these are the facts. So do not relate hearsay to anyone. These are the facts. Mm. Well, if they're the facts, I say this to the colleges of physicians and surgeons across this country. If those are indeed facts, show us the evidence. Demand of the medical officers of health that they give you the evidence. And take the dogs off the physicians who are simply trying to do the right thing for their individual patients right there in front of them. And if it is such an emergency that you are subjecting billions of people, or millions in Canada's case, if it's such an emergency as you claim, which I contest, but if you're claiming it's such an emergency and therefore there has to be an untested vaccine, well, you should, by the same logic, you should allow physicians to responsibly decide if they want to prescribe agents they personally believe might be prophylactic and not harmful, even though conclusive clinical trials might not have been completed. And I'm talking here about both vitamin D and ivermectin. Hydroxychloroquine doesn't seem to have survived scrutiny. But the point is, vitamin D in particular has enormous power at tuning up, you might say, the immune system to fight off infections such as this virus. It's dirt cheap, it's totally non-toxic, and it should be recommended, as they've done in Ireland and other places internationally.
Right, where they're using it.
It should be recommended as worth recommending, you know?
There's no money in that, Doc. They'd rather stick with it, like you said, an untested vaccine. Where 90, I look at the numbers for Canada, and I guess I've studied the numbers extensively, Doc, and as close to numbers I can come to is that 99.7 to 0.9% of us actually are not affected by this. And that's our numbers in Canada. And yet now the government's telling us that everybody has to take this vaccine. They're going to come out with the vaccine passport next, Doc. We're not going to be able to allow to be functioning in society. Well, what is the end game here, Doc? What do you think? What is the end game of all this? Your thoughts on that. Well, and then I want you to speak on PR, and then I want you to speak on the PCR test, okay? Real quick.
Sure. Before we talk about that, let's just express that statistic of risk in a different way. In Alberta, under 65, perfectly well person, over 1 year, had a 1 in 15,000 risk of dying of COVID. And that one person out of 15,000 would almost certainly, because disease just doesn't start at age 65, that one person would probably have had some comorbidities as well.
Right.
So that's the scale of risk. We're shutting down an economy for the working well, for the risk of 1 in 15,000? Are you nuts?
Well, we obviously are, because society's allowing this to go on, because they can't take the time to go look at these numbers, Doc. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know.
It's sad.
Continue with your question, I'm sorry.
It is sad. Go ahead.
Talk about
the PCR test I want to talk about. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm not an expert in that, but I do know a fair amount about it. First of all, a further lie, deceit, hoax, whatever label you want to put on it, it's not underlined in neon the gold standard of testing. Everyone in the game knows it's a lousy test that's being totally abused for this purpose. It was never intended for screening large populations for something that's quite rare. the results are more often than not falsely positive if you're screening people who are not symptomatic. And that's particularly the case if you're increasing the number of times you double the amount of virus there. That's called cycle time.
Right.
Once those cycle times start getting over 25, 30 for sure, you ramp up enormously the number of false positives. Well, it's interesting to see the explanation for that. I can speak to it certainly from one province, Manitoba, for example. They're on record in print as saying, when confronted with why they're doing 45 cycles in Manitoba, the response was, because of an edict from their boss, I suspect, "We don't want to miss a single case." Well, of course you won't, you idiots. You won't miss a single case, but you'll have about 99% false positives. And the consequences of that are not really being understood by people. It's not just that you're labeled as a positive and you've got to go into self-quarantine and all that nonsense, even though you're perfectly well. It's much more than that because of contact tracing. Any one person in an ordinary work environment would have at least 10 people that they have to name as contacts. And they're in the same working group. Mm. So you can see what happens. Restaurateurs may be overjoyed that our premier has so graciously allowed them to open, only to find the next day that Carlo, the chef, was feeling perfectly well when we opened, but he just got a positive COVID test. And so the whole team goes down. The restaurant's allowed to open, but there's no one to work in it. I mean, that's the multiplication that goes on from this absurd concept of contact tracing.
Yeah, I know. Everything about it's absurd. Nothing makes any sense at all, Doc. But it's not designed to make sense. It's designed to divide our society and to create chaos in our society. And that's what I've seen go on here in the last year, where families are falling apart. Children are the rate of suicide in Canada amongst children. I looked at those numbers, and that alone should just shock the crap out of people that we've lost way more kids. I don't know what they are in Alberta, but I looked across the country, and they're shocking, Doc. Go ahead.
200% increase in calls to the teenage suicide line in Alberta.
200%. Yeah, and I think that's basically the same across the country, Doc, that number. Go ahead.
You're isolating kids at all ages. You're denying them their friends. You're denying them sports. You're denying them facial, visual contact with their teacher. You're taking them out of the classroom. The teachers are not seeing potential evidence of child abuse, which is one of the first alerts that go out there. The children are being abused here on the colossal scale. And as I said, I call it unmitigated child abuse. There can be no other description for it.
It's insanity. It really is, because our children aren't being affected. Like you said, the numbers do not support anything they're doing to our children. But the fear factor alone, Doc, I'm not an expert. I've never professed, but I listened to some really, really knowledgeable doctors talk about this. The effect that the fear trauma alone is having on our children is going to take years to repair, that we're creating problems that should never be dealing with, Doctor. It's ludicrous. It's insanity. It's criminal. And I really hope these people are held to account. Go ahead.
But particularly criminal, because basically it's the teachers' unions using the voting threat that gets the attention of premiers like the one here in Alberta. But I've got news for Premier Kenny. If you think you can buy off the teachers' unions by letting your teachers stay at home and making the kids part of the political fodder for your re-election, you've got a big surprise coming to you, even if you're on the ticket in the next election, which is questionable given the pressure that he's under right now. People are going to remember this. Single mothers are going to remember, this is the guy who made me force me into this decision. Am I going to go to work and earn money, or am I going to leave my kids at home unattended, or am I going to try and find a, not go to work, not get paid, and have to find money somehow to pay for daycare? These are women, single mothers often, who are living paycheck to paycheck. They're hanging on by their fingernails, and they're being subjected to enormous stress by the hundreds of thousands, by this one decision to close schools for no medical reason whatsoever, other than the political implications of kowtowing to the teachers' unions. Premiers that use kids as part of their ammo, they should be trashed at the next election, and I hope people remember what's happened and how it was so unnecessary. Using children, and even contemplating vaccinating them.
Unbelievable. I would have harsher words for them myself, Doc, because crimes against humanity should be treated as one of the worst crimes, period. And what they're doing to our children, honestly, Doc, when I think about it and I see what's going on, I'm a pretty tough guy, but it brings me to tears. It really does. Because our children are being decimated, absolutely decimated right now. The most precious little things in our world are being decimated. Go ahead.
Well, you wanted to talk about vaccination certificates, I think, as well, didn't you?
Yeah, and also one other quick question before we only have about 10 minutes left here or less. The contagious factors now we're hearing about people being in the – I've heard many, many reports and read many reports this week about people in contact with people that have been vaccinated are now showing the same results of being vaccinated themselves. I'd like you to speak on that real quick.
Yes.
And like I said, we only got about 6 or 7 minutes left. Go ahead, Doc.
Yes, it's received a new name, contagious vaccinosis. At this point, there is no scientific support for it, but there is a plausible mechanism because of excess spike protein from being vaccinated could get into your the mucus of your upper airways and could be aerosolized and then inhaled by someone nearby.
Okay.
It's a difficult theory. For all kinds of reasons, but it should be investigated before you label all these people as just nutcases.
I agree, because I'm hearing too many reports, Doc. And is it all coincidence? It's really asking a lot of questions are being asked right now.
That's right. It's an urgent matter.
It is, because if it's happening, we need to know about it right away, because that would be some kind of a, what's called a bioweapon they could be unleashing on us that we need to know about. Go ahead.
Yes, and the other thing I think you wanted to talk about was it vaccination passports or something else?
Well, that's an issue that's going to come forward. I mean, I believe that's what's coming down the pipe here real quick. Where would that go in society, Doc, if they actually tried to do that? We're talking about direct contradictions of the Nuremberg trials of 1946 and 47 and the Geneva Convention, and all our rights would be smashed. But it seems like our rights don't have any influence on the government at all. They're just taking our rights away left, right, and center. So what I see going on, what do you think?
The power of the state invading your body now, invading your body, to say that, you know, you don't have to take the virus, the vaccine, we can't force you, but you won't be able to travel. I mean, that's a basic human right, liberty of travel, liberty of association, liberty of expression. They're trampling on all these inalienable rights. It's the biggest intrusion on liberty since Magna Carta. It's utterly unacceptable, and it's on a grotesque scale everywhere internationally. And it's all for no reason. That's what makes it so ridiculous. This is not Ebola or SARS. This is nothing more for most people than a trivial flu.
it really goes to show you the power of the media and how bad society has been brainwashed to believe what their medical so-called professionals are telling them. I you know, Doc, I meet people every day that just don't even want to look at this. You try and bring information forward to them, and it's like there's a mechanism that shuts off inside their brain. They don't want to hear this. They'll go home and watch their CBC every night, drink that Kool-Aid, and go to bed. And if you try to prevent contrary opinion, they just shut down. And I see that as a big problem right now. And the same on the flip side, I'm actually seeing people now really starting to be receptive to other information. Go ahead. We have a battle on our hands.
Well, anyone that's knowledgeable and does not stand up is culpable in the consequences. It's like the Nazis started getting at the Jews before the Second World War even started.
Right.
The neighbors were silent. The neighbors were afraid. The brown shirts could be attacking you next. And so silence is culpable. And everyone that's knowledgeable, by which I mean physicians, and particularly church leaders and politicians, need to unite in their opposition to this madness, particularly the church. We've had examples of churches, of course, taking leadership roles and being brutalized. But if all churches in this country all decided that next Sunday, tomorrow, we're all going to open, the state would be impotent. The state would crumble if they put their standards in the ground and unified. Of course, they're not going to do that. And therefore, they're culpable too. They're supposed to be leaders, not just standing in a pulpit and praying. Praying doesn't work, guys. You got to take out the cudgels.
I agree with you 100%. Talking what I see going on with the churches in this country, it really, it's disgusting, because at this point we need them more than ever, and they're all we hear from them is crickets. Very, very sad to see.
And the politicians likewise. You know, so what if they're kicked out of caucus? They would probably be elected with a record number of votes at the next election because of the bravery that they've shown. But they're all afraid of their positions and pensions and whatever. So they've been muted as well. And you know, in Alberta, I can speak to that. There's about 12 or 15 of them that would love to hear the other side of the story from me and Dr. Modre. We've sent them invitations, but they're all so scared of even meeting with us, let alone changing their mind, even meeting with us. That's the extent of the threats that are coming out of the Premier's office.
Crazy. I watched you, I listened to you on Wednesday, I think it was Wednesday night when you were talking to Wayne Peters there. And what Wayne's doing right now, Doc, I've got to applaud him, because I was having a little chat with him today, and the group is getting bigger and bigger of doctors in Canada here that are about ready to take a major stand against the government in unison. And that's what it's going to take to put a stop at this. It really is. If 50 doctors all of a sudden stood up in Canada tomorrow morning and said, hey, this is absolute insanity, well, their voice would be heard. But you're absolutely correct. The level of censorship on doctors right now is exactly what was happening in Germany in 1935 to 1937. It's right out of chapter 3 of the Communist Manifesto. That is one book that I have read, and what we're seeing right now is almost word for word for what's going on, how to bring a society to its knees. Go ahead.
That's right. Maintain fear and censor any counter opinion. And that's a successful strategy for people that want to go down the rabbit hole of socialism, communism, fascism, whatever. They all use the same tactics. Fear and ignorance. And it's worked. Of course, it works initially until the people rebel. I hope we don't have to rebel in order to resist that slide into those totalitarian types of regimes.
But that
seems to be where they're taking us with all of this. The jackboots of the state are in your face.
Yep. They do, Doc, and they want armed rebellion. They want to be able to bring in United Nations troops, declare martial law, and put the nail into the last into our coffin and take away our rights and freedoms. And that's where they're going. But you know what, Doc? The hour's gone by here very quickly. I got to tell you, sir, I have enjoyed this conversation with you immensely. I really appreciate the knowledge that you brought forward and presented to my listeners today. And maybe sometime in the near future, we could spend another hour talking about current developments and what's going on in this insanity that we're living in. So could you share a last thought with the audience before I have to let you go, Doctor?
No, it's gracious of you to invite me and to get this information out there to as many channels as possible. And I would, I'd really love to do another interview with you whenever you think the moment's right.
Well, I'm going to take you up on that. So you will be hearing again from me in the very near future, guaranteed. Thanks a lot, Doc. It's been enjoyable.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Doc. Okay, folks, I'm going to be back in about 3 minutes here with Kevin Johnson's going to come in and talk about the pastor that was arrested today or yesterday in Alberta and what is going on over there. Absolute insanity. Back in 3 or 4 minutes. Thanks again, Doc.
America needs defenders in every place, in every generation, in our time. Respect for the right to life calls us to defend the sick and the dying. Persons with disabilities and birth defects, and all who are weak and vulnerable. And this self-evident truth calls us to value and to protect the lives of innocent children waiting to be born.
Choice.
Welcome back to the last hour, guys, and thanks again, Dr. Hutchinson, for coming in and sharing some of his knowledge. I'm joined on short notice, gentlemen, the next mayor of Calgary, Alberta. Of course, I'm talking about Kevin Johnson, who was nice enough to oblige me on short notice to come and have a little chat about what's going on in Alberta. Welcome back to the show, Kevin.
Oh, my pleasure, Barry, but you still get my name wrong. It's Kevin J. Johnston, man. You got to put that T in there.
Okay. Johnston. Okay, I'm going to my corner. Sorry, Kevin. You're right.
Yes, yeah. Take a five-minute timeout. There you are.
Okay, here. I gave myself a slap there. Okay, I'm all good now.
Wonderful. Appreciate
Anyways.
That. How you doing? Okay. Everything good? It's been a while.
Yeah, I know. I was watching what was going on with the pastor yesterday, Kevin. I mean, this is just absolute insanity right now, what I'm seeing in this country. What do you think about all this?
Well, I think that this is the elites that are trying to get everybody to start attacking police officers. That's exactly what they want. You know, whoever is issuing these commands that the police do not actually have to follow is wanting the general public to attack police. Now, if anybody watched my footage on that, I was live on Instagram, and Derek's story from the Noble Savages was live on Facebook. And
right.
The camera angles that we got of, I think it was 12 cops showing up to the church was ridiculous. I mean, our footage was amazing, but it was ridiculous that we even captured that footage in the first place. What the police did is they showed up and they served a document, but the document itself was wrapped up in plastic. It was not out in the open where anybody would understand that they were being served a legal document. It was folded twice. So what you had was a 4-inch by 5-inch piece of paper inside of a plastic bag. And the cops, if you ever watch my footage, they just throw it down on the floor at the entrance of a church. And then the churchgoers, everyone's mad. So they were yelling at the cops, get out of here. And I never saw such fear in the eyes of 12 police officers who were fully armed before. Because now the public is no longer afraid of the police. There's only one more step to go, and that is absolute unbridled rage. And once society gets there, then people will start attacking police, which I hope it doesn't get there. I need to win this election so that it doesn't get there. But human nature being what it is, Barry, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to pick the wrong guy on the wrong day who's already had everything stolen from them by the government, and that guy is going to go ballistic. And when he reacts, it's going to be callous and gross, and they'll write about it for years to come. And that'll be the beginning of the onslaught of the Canadian people copycatting that. So I read that court order, by the way, which is the worst document I have ever read in my life. I've never seen such an amateurish piece of junk in my life. I'm like, you know, the Ontario court system shoved me in there 146 times now in the last 3.5 years. And they're still doing it. They're still setting up Zoom conferences between me and judges that I don't want to talk to. But out of all the documents I've ever seen prepared, this one is the worst. It's a 3-page document that says that if you have been shown this piece of paper, you are now guilty. And that you may be arrested, not you must be. You may be arrested. You always got to pay attention to the wording, which means police do have discretion. But the police are not using discretion. They're utilizing that may, and they're making it must. And then it says that you are guilty, and you must go before the magistrate and prove that you're not guilty.
Yep.
Yes, that's exactly what this document says. It's the most disgusting piece of paper ever produced by any judge or judge's assistant. And it wasn't the judge that wrote it. It was the judge's assistant. The judge just signed it.
You're talking about the injunction that was through a couple
and,
nights.
On my show, on my show live tomorrow, which, oh my God, Barry, they keep shutting down all my stuff. You can watch me live tomorrow on rumble.com/KevinJJohnston. We go live Monday to Friday from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Mountain Time, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Toronto time, 6 p.m., of course, B.C. time. But we are going to show that document tomorrow. I'm going to read it verbatim, and then we have a legal expert coming on to explain to everybody just how illegal that document really is.
Mm. How draconian they have become.
Unbelievable. Yeah, now well, they're going to try and ram through C-10 now, Kevin.
But they're getting a lot of backlash now. This is the big thing, is that people are finally starting to lash out at these ridiculous individuals who are writing this ridiculous stuff. And in the lashing out, they are more and more afraid than they've ever been. Now, let me tell you what, the ramping up of all this stuff, realistically speaking, the Calgary police know that if they arrest me for something, I'm going to win this election. They know this. And they know that whoever was the arresting officer and everybody else involved with it is going to be canned. They know this. So they're not able to hurt me right now. But what they're doing is they're hurting me by hurting my friends and my colleagues. So by them going at David and Archer the way they're doing, and really upsetting their families, upsetting their kids, upsetting their wives, upsetting all of us.
Creating rage. It's creating rage.
It is creating rage. And this is what they're trying to do to get me to drop out of the mayor race. I have been slandered now by APTN, CTV, CBC, all kinds of left-wing nut job websites I've never heard of before. And then, and this is the kicker, this one blew my mind. This happened almost 3 weeks ago. And my affidavit of truth is almost complete, which I'm then taking to the police and filing as a criminal complaint. But if you recall, there's a restaurant owner in Ontario who sued me for $2.5 million to keep me silent about his involvement in killing children and Buddhists and Hindus and Christians in Myanmar. That's what they did. And they actually managed to get themselves a court injunction stating I could not talk about him nor his lawyers. But what he did right after that is went on a six-week slander and libel campaign on every news agency in Canada. Well, Antifa came charging at me, and the cops actually had to throw their bodies and their bikes in between Antifa and me. And all these kids who are between 15 and 20 who don't care anything about politics were shouting at me saying, when are you going to pay Muhammad Fakir's money? When are you going to pay that $2.5 million? You're a racist. When are you going to pay that guy? And then two of them screwed up, and they actually said that they were hired by that restaurant owner in Toronto to harass me here in Calgary. Man, oh, man, there's a lot of criminal offenses there. So this is how desperate the left are to keep me out of office, because they know how serious I am. I've made it clear. I will be designating Antifa and Black Lives Matter terrorist organizations, and we're going to round them up, and we're going to lock them up. Terrorism is a very serious charge. They may not get bail. They may not get bail for months, and they know it.
Well, you're going to rock the apple cart, and they sure don't want you in there, Kevin. I know. I see
them
coming at you left. They're coming at you left, right, and center.
Yes, they are. They are. Even the city of Calgary has taken to defaming me and slandering me. I've got evidence on that one, too, and that's going to be announced very shortly. It is, and I've got the evidence. I'm going to show you this stuff. This is not just me telling you it's happening. I will be showing you how far the city of Calgary is going to make sure that I don't win the mayorship. And as it stands, the only competition I've got is a guy named Jeremy Farkas. He's a 33-year-old skinny child who's already a city councilor right now, who has done absolutely nothing with his position for the last 3.5 years. And every single time he makes a statement publicly, it's always only on social media. It's not in the public at all. And he'll make it's buzzwords. We're going to take Calgary into the future. Well, what a stupid thing to say. Every nanosecond that elapses has taken everything with it into the future. What an absolutely ridiculous statement. So what happens is, or what happened on his Instagram page, is that all of my fans from all over North America were saying, we're voting for Kevin J. Johnston. You suck. You're an idiot. And they're calling him everything under the sun. So he actually shut down his own Instagram page just because it was now free advertising for me. So that gives you an idea. And that's the only competition I've got, by the way. There are 14 people running, and they're all, with the exception of one, two, me and a gentleman named Shaoli Wang, who's actually very polite, very nice guy. We're the only two conservatives running. Everybody else running is a far left nut. So if there are going to be 11 or 12 other candidates splitting the left-wing vote, they've given it to me, because the conservative vote will be mine. No conservative in their right mind is going to vote for a 33-year-old child who has had 4 years to show that he can do something and has shown in 4 years he can't do anything.
Well, I applaud your courage there, Kevin, because they're really going to come at you super hard here. You know that. They're going to pull every little trick in the book they can. And I just applaud you for what you're doing, because really what you're doing is setting an example.
They can pull every trick that they can. They have no idea what's coming down the pipe. I've got my own tricks that are coming, and mine are going to be far more effective than theirs, because the only thing that they've got are their fleeting newspapers and their fleeting social media accounts. People are not paying attention to CTV and CBC. You want proof of that? Just simply go to any of the YouTube channels for CTV, CBC, and City TV News, 660 News, and all these guys, and you'll see that their videos get 700, 800 views. Nobody cares about what they've got to say anymore. No one's listening to left-wing rhetoric anymore. Nobody is buying into 72 genders. Nobody agrees with the far left that marrying a six-year-old girl is good for society. Nobody agrees that the nuclear family is a bad thing, and Christians are finally getting the message that they are under attack by the government and the far left. And I think the average intelligent person has caught on to the fact that it's the government who's telling these far left groups to continue to pester all of us. Yeah, and we're also discovering now which of the far left are hired by news agencies to be the left-wing spokesman or the left-wing spokeswoman. They, of course, don't want to be called man or woman. That's why I use those terms. They're not men. They're not women. They're not anything. But you get the idea. They're male and female, barely. However, they're being paid by the media to come out and make brazenly stupid statements that they cannot back.
Absolutely. It's absolute insanity, some of the things they come up with. I go like, man, come on. Are you serious? You're talking to adults. You're not talking to seven-year-old children. But I think that's what they think they're talking to, Kevin, because you're right. It's absolute insanity what's coming out of the mainstream. And nobody is listening anymore. Nobody is listening.
But here's the thing. I don't know how it is that white people believe all of the hype. The brazen statement that gets made by a lot of racists out there who are not white, and believe me, folks, it does happen a lot. You've got non-whites telling white people that all white people are racist and only white people can be racist. And now the Ontario education system is doing that, as is the Manitoba education system. So we are at this time now where the government is doing everything it can to divide everybody, including whites, because now, tell you this, the ones who call me racist the most are stupid white kids under 25, something that I'm absolutely sick of. You know, I'm not going to get into fistfights with them, but I do humiliate them by asking very serious questions that they usually answer with the F word, the C word, lewd gestures. Sometimes FIFA girls will open up their shirts and show me their stuff and like, whoa, I don't want to see any of that. Oh my God.
Yeah.
This is how they debate. This is how the left debates. They get naked.
That's all they have, Kevin. They don't have anything.
They don't.
Yeah, they're sitting in their mom's basement getting their SERP checks every month and going, life is great. All we got to do is do this. And we're laughing. It's a joke. It really is. But it's sad.
Well, it is a joke. Muscle. But at the same time, you're right. It's sad because we have an entire generation. All of them are going to be useless. By the time those kids hit 40, 45, they are going to be a drain on society. They're not going to contribute in any way. Now, period. And the teachers that they'll have to blame at that point will all be in their 60s and 70s. What are you going to do at that point, really? So,
and of course, they're taking history away from us. They're completely eliminating history so people can't understand what's gone on in the past because they know it repeats itself. I mean, these guys are psychopaths, and they've got it all figured out, Kevin. They really do.
They think they do.
What they're unleashing on society right now is outright crimes against humanity. No matter what we talk about, are crimes.
Yeah. Well,
I believe one day they're going to be. Yeah. One day I hope they're held accountable.
Let's talk about the crimes against humanity, because Pastor Archer Paul Wasky. Now we do want to cover that, and I've got to cover that again on two different shows. My God, so you guys saw that. It was 2 months ago where AHS showed up. The AHS officer. I hate that term, is a short, obese woman. Her name is Sarah Nunn, N-U-N-N. She's very upset with me because I downloaded all of her photos of her entire family from Facebook. and displayed everything except for her kids. I blocked their faces. But every photograph you see of her, she's drunk, drinking wine and having a grand old time, having a blast, with no mask on, of course. Now, right. Sarah Nunn stands 5'4". She's gross to look at. She has a very disgusting demeanor in every way. And she wants to shut down this church. So in doing our research on this person, all she is a food inspector for Alberta Health Services and just so happens to work out of a Calgary office. That's it. So Archer yelled at them, get out of this property, get off this property, get out of here, get out, get out. And yep. That went to 100 million views worldwide, probably more.
Yep.
That humiliated her. That got her back up. So she came back a couple of weeks later. And with another attempted service of a piece of paper, this time I blocked her. I stuck my camera a couple inches from her face, and I blocked her from serving the guy. And the police, they gave up. They said, okay, well, we're going to leave. But she wasn't done yet. What this Sarah Nunn did is she went to the courts, found an absolutely criminalistic judge, or a JP, I'm not even sure which one it would be, to state that she was afraid for her life because I, Kevin J. Johnston, downloaded photographs from her Facebook page, and that she says, I believe that Pastor Archer Pawlowski is never going to comply with any of our orders, and so on. So she gets this new court injunction, but she's not brave enough to come this time. She gets Calgary police, who have nothing to do with AHS, to serve it. That's what Calgary police did yesterday. And again, I stuck my camera right in their faces. The officer who served the paper did so improperly. The court injunction is a three sheet piece of garbage that he had wrapped up in a plastic bag, double folded. So the piece of paper looked like it was 4 inches wide. And then he drops it in the front door of the church. And then they leave because the crowd was angry. And the crowd was yelling at them, get out of here. And the fear in their faces was, it was legit. They were afraid. And when the public is no longer afraid of police, we talked about this earlier. So let's get back to the rest of this now. The document itself is actually illegally written. And now they waited for Pastor Art to get into his van with his brother and his friend David. And that's when they pulled them over. That's when the cops pounced, when they had 6 cars and probably 12 or 14 officers out there. Now they're tough. Now they're brave. Now they become the ultra big bouncer types. Now look at me. I'm tough. Well, no, you're not. You're criminals and you're cowards and you're weak. That's the deal. When you play this game, there was a complete setup. The piece of paper that was handed to them was deliberately written to be that anybody who reads it is now aware of it and can now be arrested. It was a complete setup. It was it's absolutely entrapment. So the amount of money that the city of Calgary is going to have to pay Pastor Archer, it's going to be huge. And I mean huge. They really screwed up because Calgary police should not be enforcing provincial orders that are not laws at all. They had the option to not arrest. They had the option to say, nah, Your Honor, go shove it. They do have that option, and they're not taking it.
Mm-hmm. They're just making an example, of course, Kevin.
Yeah.
But it's going to backfire on them. So what's the situation right now with the pastors? Is he going to be able to get bailed out of there fairly quickly? Well, we are working hard.
Yeah, we're working hard on that right now. I have not spoken to the lawyer yet, but I have spoken to his family. They've spoken to the lawyer. Apparently, the bail hearing is going to be on Tuesday of this week. Now, I will have the exact time and date listed, and I would encourage the entire public to be there. Because if we can put 1,000 people outside that courthouse, then the judge knows that this is of severe interest to the public. And he's not going to be able to do anything cruel or illegal, like lock the gentleman up for weeks at a time, like they did to me. They put me in Pastor Coates. Security prison. Yeah, or Pastor Coates. Yep. They locked 30, him up 30 for odd days. They locked me up.
Yep.
Yeah, 30 days. They put me in prison for 6 weeks because I had the wrong political opinions about the Liberal Party and about COVID-19 and so on.
Yep.
And they did so, no trial, no nothing. Everything was done in secret. Just a justice of the peace, that's all it was. And Ontario law says that when a justice of the peace breaks the law and locks someone up for no reason, they are completely non-culpable. There is no what do you call that? No liability that they have. You can't sue them. You can't do anything. So isn't that convenient? Judges can break the law whenever they want. They can ignore the charter and the Constitution whenever they want, and there's no punishment for it whatsoever.
Yeah, that's got to change, sure, Kevin. That's got to change.
It's all got to change. But you know what? I think it's going to. Because what's happened right now, especially in Ontario, is they've shut their own court system down. They've shut out all the courthouses. They're trying to force everybody onto Zoom. It's not working very well because no one's taking the courts seriously anymore. Now, these Zoom trials, they're a joke. Let me tell you what a crazy joke they were. If anyone knows Rick Boswick out in Ottawa.
Yep.
Rick was he was being harassed by Antifa, and they filed a false charge of assault against him. So he had to defend himself on a Zoom court hearing. Now the judge was trying to remember what law to cite or to quote, and he couldn't remember. So he went over to get his version of Black's Law Dictionary.
Right.
The judge stands up and he walks down the hallway and he's not wearing pants.
What?
And there was about 250 people watching this Zoom trial take place. I don't think he knew how to use his laptop. I don't think he understood what the field of vision was on a laptop camera that's widescreen, because it was very widescreen. So when he walks away, he's got a tweed jacket on, shirt and tie, and he's got these blue boxer shorts on and bare legs. It was the funniest thing I ever saw. So the court system itself has shown itself to be the joke that it truly is. And it's only a matter of time before people start ignoring the courts, and it's only a matter of time before the courts lose all authority. They're just going to start barking out commands to tell cops to go get people, and people are going to retaliate. Because let me tell you something about most police officers, especially in Peel Region and in Toronto. They can't fight. They can't fight. You know, their demeanors are not strong enough. They're not masculine enough. They're not well-trained enough. They haven't body-built enough. They're not fit enough. Hmm. They're not going to be able to do much when people decide, no, I've had enough of this. I really have. And I've watched a lot of police training videos out there. And what's interesting is the knife, how much police officers are actually warned about knives. Because it shows that as soon as a police officer realizes that somebody's running at them with a knife, someone can run at them with a knife from 15 feet away. And that's not enough time for them to draw their gun and shoot. Right? So think about that. They don't have enough time to draw their guns and shoot if someone who's had enough of them comes charging at them with a knife from 15 feet or less.
Mm.
Because, and believe me, those knives, any solid knife that's built well, is going straight through that body armor. That body armor is designed for bullets, not knives. They don't have the clay plates or the ceramic plates in behind them. Now, this is not me telling you how to stab people. God, no. I want nothing to do with a violent Canada. I really don't. I want my country back. I loved it the way it was. I want it back. I don't want it to be a war zone.
Amen.
That's what I'm getting at. I'm explaining this so that any police officers who are listening understand. Like, you guys are about to become prey.
And well, it's getting to that point. It is getting to that point, Kevin. I'm seeing the last week especially. I'm going to let you talk. I just wanted to interject the thought here.
Yeah, no worries.
We said earlier in the show about the rise in anger against police in the country. And it is very, very obvious now that the citizen in general is getting to the breaking point. And I believe that's exactly what they want, my friend. Go ahead.
Well, yes, as I mentioned to you, the elites that are in place, Justin Trudeau absolutely wants Canadians to lose their minds and start killing cops. That's what he wants. He wants lower-end politicians to be dragged out in the street and killed, stabbed, whatever. That's what he wants.
Of course.
This is the thing here. He wants this, and he's going to get it because he's ramped everything up more so than I ever thought would be possible in a free country, well, a supposed free country like this. Everything's been ramped up to the point where there are just too many average Canadians who no longer have anything to lose, and they're going to retaliate.
Yep.
Yeah, it's blame Trudeau. That's what he wanted.
Well, you know, Kevin,
Jason Kenney wants this.
Yep.
Go ahead.
Well, because it's fulfills part of its agenda. It's on his plate, man. It's what, like you said, this is what the government wants. They want the average citizen to rise up in armed confrontation against the police forces, because you know what I know. As soon as that happens, Kevin, it's in comes the troops, and we're right shut down in society, and civil war would erupt in Canada, and that's all I believe. That's right. The one thing that he wants. So we got to stay away from violence, guys. We do. But they're pushing it so hard right now, Kevin.
They're making it very difficult, yeah.
Well, you see it, I see it. But the average citizen doesn't understand, you know, a lot of the things that we're talking about right now. All they see is what they see on the surface. And I see Canadians now just getting infuriated with the police forces. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, first up, most of us are infuriated with all the police forces out there. They are no longer serving and protecting. That's a very, it's obvious. The way they behave is very obvious. All they're doing is following orders of whoever happens to be someone that can fire them. That's
right.
In the case of Calgary, that would be Naheed Nenshi, who actually just yesterday, made it clear that white people don't need to eat, so stay home. That's essentially what he was saying. So that is who's in charge of the Calgary police force right now. So, you know, think about how crazy it is that Naheed Nenshi, this weak individual who has nothing of value to say to anyone, who is, he's Muslim and gay and an alcoholic. So he's living in conflict, because you can't be an alcoholic and gay in Islam. It's just not allowed. I've read the Quran. I know this stuff. So this guy is living in personal conflict at all times, period. He got busted by being on that list that the Americans released to the world about Canadian politicians that were either being paid by China or were working with China. And he was on that list.
Right.
So he knows that it's only a matter of time before that particular house of cards comes crashing down. That's why he's leaving the province on October 25th. He's out of here, because I think he knows I'm going to win this election. And I think he knows the national warrants are going out for his arrest. And, you know, I'll tell you this, Barry, the one time I've only ever seen Naheed Nenshi in the flesh once, and this was probably 5 weeks ago, where everyone pointed out to me, hey, there's Naheed Nenshi. He was standing outside being interviewed by CTV, of course. And I went running across the road to Old City Hall, said, hey, Mr. Mayor, how you doing? I want to say hi. Got to introduce myself. Kevin J. Johnson, how you doing? Look, oh, no, I can't talk right now. I've got a meeting.
I'm sure that went over well.
I could not believe this guy ran. He ran up the stairs. Well, he waddled. It was kind of like shuffling one leg left and right, like the penguin in the second Batman movie. But yeah, he's got this 25-year-old kid not saying anything, but bending over and putting his hand out in front of me, like, stop. I'm thinking, why are you bending over, man? Like, no thanks. You're not my type. It was so crazy. So Nenshi won't look me in the eye, but keeps yelling out, I've got a meeting. I have to go inside. And he's scrambling to figure out the code on the door. And he gets inside, and he closes the door behind him. And then his little 25-year-old, who's still pushing his hand towards me, opens the door and gets in. And I turn around. There's a crowd of over 100 people across the road, and they're all applauding, standing ovation. So that's who's in charge of this town. That's who's telling us how to be a moralistic individual. Now, someone who hides either in his mother's house, literally, or hides in Old City Hall and never comes out to face the music, face the people, or speak to the people in any way. Now, every time that he makes a public statement, he has to delete all the comments, because the comments are dead honest. No one in this town likes this guy. Nobody. And the same thing with Rachel Notley, who made a big announcement that she's going to try to run again for Premier of Alberta, and the comments that people make about her, wow, man, I'm thinking that's pretty cool stuff. I was a stand-up comedian in my 20s and then again in my 30s, and I never wrote anything as crap as what's being said to these awful politicians. But they deserve it, eh?
Yeah, they
absolutely deserve it. So well, to conclude what we're saying here, Pastor Art is in the Remand Center. We're all going to do our very best to get him out try to get him out on habeas corpus, and of course, and the fact that this whole thing was done illegally. This was an entrapment job, and that the court order that was written, or the injunction that was written, is completely improper, illegal, unconstitutional, and it's everything. It's disgusting what they have done.
Yeah, well, Rebel came out and said that they're going to go harder after this than anything they have in the history of the corporation or of the media. But Rebel is going to go hard after this, and like them or love them or hate them, they're going hard after this because they see what's going on.
No, you see what's going on.
This is absolutely absolute insanity, Kevin. It really is.
Yeah, no, it is.
You'd let them get away with this. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say, with Ezra Levant, I admire what he's put together. All right, he and I don't see eye to eye on very much, but that's okay. That's only on a personal level. I have nothing but admiration for what the man has done and put together. So if he says he's going to go hard at something, he will go hard at something, because right now, Pastor Archer Palwoski, probably right through to the end of this year, is going to be the number one story in Canada. You know, the only other story that would be as big as that would be when I take office, when I win the election in October. Then they'll flip it from Archer to me. Because,
well, every media outlet that carried his original story in the States, Kevin, and there was numerous outlets that picked it up and had him on, they're all going to be doing follow-ups on this in the next couple of days, and this will be known around the world what's going on in Alberta.
Fox News already got a hold of me today.
Yep.
I sent them off a letter stating that I have been appointed to speak on behalf of Pastor Archer Palwoski. So it's possible that they will put me on Fox News either tomorrow or Tuesday to discuss this at length. All right. So
if that happens,
of course, I'll be making a big announcement that I will be live on Fox News. InfoWars got a hold of us. And again, same thing. I've got permission to speak on Archer's behalf, because honestly speaking, I think they're going to do their very best in the courts to deny him bail on Tuesday. I've got a feeling that he'll have to have a bail review or another bail hearing later in the week. They're going to keep him in as long as they possibly can.
Yeah.
And of course, I don't mind speaking for him. I'll tell him everything I know. This has been one of my best friends for the last 5 years.
Straight. Yep.
I have breakfast and or coffee with this man at least 3 times a week. We know each other better than anybody else could possibly know each other. That's what I'm getting at. So,
when we saw this video of him being arrested, it brought tears to a lot of people's faces. It did. I've had people tell me that they just broke down in tears when they saw this manhandling of this really good man by our RCMP police forces in Canada under draconian measurements by the government and the provincial health officials. People are getting pissed right off, Kevin. And I think they're shooting themselves in the foot with this because, like you said, it's going to go international. This is going to be all over the world, what happened to this pastor yesterday in Alberta. Go ahead.
Yep. No, it absolutely will. And the Canadian government, every level of Canada's government now, is making this country look bad. There's no more respect that the world has for the leadership of this country. In fact, what we have now, this is never what I wanted. The world sympathizes for Canadians. That's not the look and feel I ever wanted for this country. I remember growing up in the 70s when every man had, first off, every man was a man, you know, with the handlebar mustaches and the long hair and the swagger and the cool clothes, you know, and if you got too mouthy, you took a fist to the face and he got one back. You know, men settled things like men, and women were women. We were tough back then. We were an amazing country back then. The world wanted to be a part of what we had. Now the world laughs at us and sympathizes. And that is never the image that a country, especially a G20 country, should have. I doubt we're going to be a G20 country for much longer. There's just not going to be enough money, enough commerce, enough economy, enough anything to keep the country cohesive. It's just not. We don't have it.
Well, it didn't happen overnight, Kevin. This is a plan that was put into place many, many years ago to get Canada to where we are today. And it's going to take many, many years to correct the problem. But identifying the problem and understanding how we can correct it, I think that would be a monumental step forward right now. Because, like I said, this didn't happen overnight. It's taken many years to get our society to what we are now, a bunch of weak, spineless individuals, apathetic Canadians, want to sit in their house and watch their hockey games and can't give a hoot about what's going on to their country. And I see that everywhere. Go ahead.
I'm trying really in my mind here to understand how it was when the economy in this country tanked back in 93 and people lost their homes and whatnot. We got weaker that day. Canadians got weaker. We were no longer happy because we no longer had the the spandex pants and the roller games and the WWF and all kinds of crazy stuff on television. We didn't have all that entertainment anymore. The 1980s were gone. And we came into the early 1990s where people were losing their houses because they were paying 18 to 30% interest on mortgages.
Yep.
And then the market corrected itself. Yeah.
Yep.
So, I mean, imagine you're paying 18% on a mortgage on a $300,000 condo, and the value drops to $90,000, but you're still paying the mortgage on the original amount. It's insane. And from that day, everybody in this country just got quieter and weaker. And the country, I'll tell you the truth, it never recovered here. This country never recovered from that 93 crash. And it's sad to think that that one economic event could crush an entire country the way that it did. And then the next governments that get in realize, hey, you know what? Everybody here is pretty down on their luck and, you know, down on morale. Let's make it worse, not better. Let's not be leaders and bring our country back out of this. Let's be the enemies of the people and bring them down further. And the average Canadian just sat there and let it happen.
Yep, they did. You know, when 1970 came around, Kevin, I was 16 years old. So I got to live through one of the best decades ever between the 70s and the 80s. And I remember it well. There was money falling out of people's pockets. There was freedom everywhere. Everybody was having a good time in life. And all of a sudden it changed. But it didn't, like I said, it didn't change overnight. It took many years for them to make the changes. But you're right, 93 was a trigger point. Just like 2001, September 11th was a major trigger point in our history. People don't understand the ramifications of that event, what they're having in their life right now as we speak. But they are. Go ahead.
Well, Barry, everything you just said is absolutely correct. There's nothing. First off, let's cover this. The crash happens, everyone gets depressed, our government comes in and continues its onslaught against the people. And then we had 9/11, like you said, that was what, 2001?
Yep.
And all of a sudden, right after that, we have nothing but complete and total contempt for ourselves in North America. Americans were buying into what CNN was saying about the fact that, oh, we as America, we deserved airplanes being crashed into our buildings. We deserved that destruction in downtown New York because of our policies on oil. Why would anybody want to demean their own nation? I mean, think about what CNN does. You guys have the freedom to jump onto television and get paid copious amounts of money to supposedly report the news, but you spend all of that time belittling and destroying the very same society that allow you to be rich just by sitting down in a suit and talking. Think about how crazy it is. And then you have all of Hollywood coming out in the last 10 to 15 years talking about how horrible the United States is. But think about that, you idiots. You guys are getting paid $10, $12, $20 million to pretend. You know, you get paid to act, to pretend. To pretend that you're a spaceship captain, to pretend that you're a good-looking woman, to pretend this stuff. Like, it's make-believe. You get paid millions of dollars to do what children do for free in the sandbox. And what do? Instead of saying, God bless America, thank you, America, for allowing me to pretend to be something else for a two-hour movie, and thank you for the millions of dollars that come with it, plus the income that I'm going to get from every comic book show I go to, plus. Yeah, no, that we don't have that sense of appreciation anymore at all. Everybody who's got who are even slightly left of center are all talking about, let's destroy what we have. Let's take it all away. Right? Because reasons. Right? They don't even give reasons. And we're doing the same thing in Canada, man. Right? We don't have Hollywood here. One of our problems in this country is we actually don't support our own talent. Our own talent has to leave Canada to the United States, Europe, or Japan to get big. And then Canadians will take credit for that celebrity who had to build their own lives outside their own country by saying, yeah, Jim Carrey, he's Canadian. Yeah, but he didn't make anything in Canada because he didn't help him.
What we need right now in Canada, Kevin, is about 50 of you guys, like you exactly, not quite, standing up for mayorships around the country, because we could turn this thing right around if we could get control of the mayorships of the major cities in Canada. You would see monumental changes, because that's where it's all coming from.
So I wish we could
clone you.
I wish I could clone you. I do. We need you, buddy. We need 50 more like you. I'm trying to add a little.
Yeah, I don't know if I can stand myself, you know?
Well, similar.
If a clone of me was made and I had to have dinner with myself, would I make it through the entire meal? I don't know.
Oh, how about 50 people with some testicles, Kevin? Ready to stand up.
I would take 15 men with balls. I really would. Are there 15 men, masculine men left in this country? Please, if you are a man, a real man who's masculine, let me know. Join my team. Let's get me elected so we can make some very big monumental changes to what's going on in this country.
Well, if we don't make those changes now, Kevin, I would not want to see Canada a couple of years down the road if we don't put a stop to the insanity we see right now. I think we're going down a very, very, very dark path. And at the end of the path is not a nice place. And we're getting there real quick, brother. We really are. It's shocking me. Well, it's shocking me what I'm seeing going on in Canada and the lack of Canadians' ability to address it. I mean, our forefathers, Kevin, are rolling in their graves right now. They're screaming at us that we're going to lose something that a lot of them laid down their lives for, and we're giving it away like it's pizza at a party. People just don't get it. And these cops that are enforcing these draconian measures, all they're doing, brothers, they're shooting themselves in the foot because their children aren't going to have what they have. They think they got a ticket to the big party, but they don't. Go ahead.
A very good point. They don't have a ticket.
They're shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah.
We just got to grab the narrative, man. Go ahead.
Well, hey, listen, we got to win. We have to win. So one of the biggest things that I want to suggest is that everybody could head over to Kevin J. Johnston with a T .ca. My blog entries are there, so you can watch my videos there. You can certainly get a sense of who I am. All the links to all my social media are there. I've got something like 25 social media accounts because I keep getting shut down. But, you know, as much as I hate to say it, we need money to buy signs. We need to win this election. And in order to do so, we're estimating that we do require 20,000 election signs to do so. Now, I have been in the print brokering industry for a long time, so I can get signs for between $1.25 and $2 a piece that will be very easy to read from more than 30 feet away.
Correct.
So it's not like we're going out there and spending money foolishly. I am very frugal with what I spend to get these things done. But 20,000 signs on top of the 3,000 that we've already put around town is an absolute necessity. Calgary is a very big landmass. It's something crazy like 60 kilometers north and south and 70 east and west. It's a big piece of land.
Yeah, it's
it really is spread out.
Yeah,
and we need everyone's attention.
Yep. Well, hey,
so
Kevin.
If you can contribute in any way, if you want to donate, folks, you can. I've got a couple of books out. One's called Masks Are BS. The other one's called Lacrosse Is Dead. I've got a comic book out called Biden's America, which covers what happens after Biden's been in charge for 6 years. There's actually things that I will give you for your donations. I also have my own coffee company, my own coffee brand.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
I had a cup of your coffee the other day, Kevin. Mike Kennedy,
and what'd you think?
Mike Kennedy, one of your listeners, bought some of your coffee, and I was over there. And I'll tell you, folks, order some coffee from Kevin because it's awesome stuff. I was drinking the Wasted Native. And it was good stuff, man. So I'm going to push that one for you, Kevin.
It's a very – listen, you know what? I did my research into this. I was looking to put my name on a food brand for quite some time. I figured coffee was it because I'm a coffee connoisseur, and coffee has, what, 2 or 3 calories per cup, tops?
Mm-hmm.
In getting involved with the company that's based in Mississauga, Ontario, we went through everything. They showed me the topographical maps of the farms. I actually had a chance to do Skype calls with the farmers that were picking the beans. It's all fair trade. It literally is fair trade. And the beans come to Canada in their shells, unroasted, unground, on everything. All the roasting and the grinding is done in Mississauga and then shipped out. The same day that everything is ground and roasted. So I only work with people that know what they're doing. I really do.
You came up with a winner with that one, because I'm a coffee drinker, and I drank lots of different coffees in my life, and that was really good stuff. So without pumping in any more, there's a way, guys, that you could support Kevin and get some of his coffee, sit down, drink a cup of his coffee, and listen to some of his shows, because he's worth listening to, folks. Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I certainly do appreciate that. Thank you. Yes, and for those who are curious about my show, it runs Monday to Friday, 7 p.m. To 9 p.m. Calgary time, 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Toronto time, of course, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. BC time. And we don't miss a beat. We've not missed a show now in almost a year, period, since we started. We started this thing about 11 months ago. We've never missed a show. So even if I can't get in for the first little bit, I will always show up in my own show at some point. And I think I've only actually come in late to my own show three times, right? So we are very serious about it. It's a very serious full-time thing that we do. It's I got a whole team of guys who do their research, do our graphics, get our videos queued up so you guys can understand what we're talking about. And it is Monday to Friday. You can watch – the best place to watch right now is rumble.com/KevinJJohnston, because YouTube has killed my 13th channel. Facebook has now killed my fifth or sixth now. Twitter killed 17 of our accounts. Like, we're just done with the mainstream guys. Wow. We have gone now to the alternative media, which is Rumble, Odyssey, Trovo, and a few of the others.
Let's support these alternatives, folks, because the more we support them, the bigger they'll get. The bigger they get, the more they're going to have an audience and a reach, and we got to put a stop to the censorship. And this is one way to do it, guys. Kevin, you said you're only going to hang around for half an hour. And we're really
I'm live actually in 10 minutes on another show. So I actually do have to get going here. So I wanted to say, Barry, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my friend. It really is.
Well, it's a pleasure having you on, Kevin. And we'll have to do this again sometime real soon. And we'll keep everybody updated on what's going on in Calgary and some of the battles going on in Canada. Thanks for coming in, Kevin.
My pleasure, man. Great talking to you guys. Have a great day.
Okay, Steve, do you want to give Dave Delisle a call? He wants to come in for a minute.
He does, does he?
Okay. I can add him here.
Yep. Let me give
Dave a call.
Go ahead.
He's going to come in for about 10 minutes. A couple of things he wanted to talk about. I'm scrolling down my list here, folks. Just give me a sec here. So that was a good conversation. Always enjoy having that man on. Energy out his yin yang, man. Yeah, get some of his coffee, guys. That was really good coffee. I was surprised.
Is he coming in?
Yeah, I'm calling him right now. He'll come in for a minute. How you doing, Dave?
So far, so good, Barry.
Well, you know, we only got about 7 or 8 minutes left in the show, but I thought I could call you in real quick because there was something you really wanted to talk about real quick. What was that you wanted to mention? There was something you talked about earlier today that was really picking your butt.
Excuse me. So how are we doing, Barry?
Well, I've enjoyed the last 2 hours and 45 minutes so far. Huh?
I'm in.
Yeah, okay. Anyways, yeah, Dave.
So far, not bad.
We only got about 5 or 6 minutes, okay? I just pulled you in for a minute. But there was something that you said earlier today was picking your butt. Did you want to talk about something for a minute or not, or just anything on your brain?
What's actually going on?
What is it?
Well, there's a lot of stuff that's going on that's just driving me absolutely crazy. The censorship.
Okay. Well, I thought there was something in particular you wanted to talk about, but then we talk about a million different things when we're talking anyways. But censorship, yeah. Censorship is right off the charts right now, and it's only going to get really bad here in the next little while, Dave. What do you think? We're not getting you, Dave. I'm not hearing you.
The censorship is bad, Barry. The censorship.
Yeah, I know, Dave. Like I said, we've been talking about this for a long time. It's right off the charts right now, and it's only going to get worse. So how do we stop it? Our politicians aren't listening to us. They're going to shut it down in Canada. They're going to pass Bill C-10. I won't be able to do these radio shows if they pass Bill C-10. What do you think of that, folks? That's what Canada's doing.
Exactly. And I was reading some information just before I come on there. Ezra did a live interview with the pastor there, and the pastor is more adamant than ever that he's not going to lose this battle, which is good. I mean, it's nice to see people standing up.
Yeah, me and Kevin were just talking about him here for the last little bit there, Dave. And the thing about Pastor Arthur is that he had international exposure. He was on InfoWars. He was on, I forget how many media outlets in the States I saw him on that interviewed him because of his out to the police and chasing him out of his church. Of course, that went viral, millions of views, and now every one of them is going to be doing a follow-up on what's going on with the pastor. This is going to be known around the world what's going on in Canada here in the next 24 hours.
It turns out that Max and Laura Lynn apparently got $2,800 fines yesterday for protesting there in
Regina. Yep, and they're in Saskatoon today. Well, the tickets mean nothing, Dave. People got to realize that none of these tickets will hold water in a court of law. All they are is trying to intimidate you. Welcome the ticket. Take it to court because they won't go to court. None of them have proceeded to court yet, Dave, in this country. Do people know that, Dave? No. You don't hear that.
No, they don't.
You don't hear that. It's just intimidation. It's just, they mean nothing.
That is correct. That's correct. It's the fear, though, that's keeping a lot of people away. They say, oh, gee, you know, all this is going to happen. I'm going to get a ticket. I can't afford it.
Yeah, I know.
You can't afford not to go.
Exactly. You hit the nail on the head.
Fight the fine, but you can't fight the communism. The reality is that you can fight it. I mean, that's the only way out of it. But before we get to that point, we have to protest. We have to get out there and speak. And oppose all this.
Well, it's good to have you in for a couple of minutes, Dave, because you fully understand just how much danger our country is in now. You've been watching the developments here in the last 3 or 4 years, and we all get it now that this is a battle we're in right now, that this is the most serious issue by far that any of us will ever deal with or have dealt with in our lifetime. What's going to happen here in the next couple, 3 months in Canada. It's up to us right now. We were chosen to be here, I guess, at this time. So I'm all in, brother, and I know you are, so it's great to have you in for a couple minutes.
Well, there's more. I mean, so many things that are going on, and there's so much information coming out now against the vaccines and everything else, and it's starting to hit the mainstream media, which is good. It's about time.
Well, what we're seeing, Dave, is more so than the mainstream is people talking to people. Because that's what's really starting to happen in Canada. When people start to get influenced and affected by these things, they're going to sit down and talk to their friends. And if their friends sit down and take a look at what's going on, and they talk to 5 friends, all of a sudden we're going to have a domino effect in society. And that's what we're starting to see now, the big pushback against this incredibly insane, ludicrous, criminal, absolute criminal regimen of vaccines being rolled out on the public in Canada. This is beyond criminal, and they're all going to pay for it, Dave. I honestly believe that that's going to happen because I see the tide is starting to turn quite a bit.
The reality of the whole thing, though, is that all these people are getting these vaccines and this vaccine the shedding and whatever. The people that don't get the vaccines are going to get sick just being around these people. We're going to have to segregate the people for the ones that have had the vaccine and the ones that haven't.
I've been watching and reading and looking at all kinds of articles on this, Dave. Like, we don't really have enough time to get into it, but we talked about this earlier on my show today, that they basically have created a perfect bioweapon, that this vaccine was actually being played with in 2016 when this whole agenda was being planned by the Communist Chinese Party, who, of course, instilled the head of the World Health Organization, who's been mandating everything that we're supposed to be doing to fight this so-called pandemic, which it isn't, biggest scam ever played on the human race. And here we are now on the verge of losing everything that our forefathers fought over nothing. That's what's happened in Canada, and it's sad to see, my friend.
It really is. There's so many people that just don't see this or don't care. I mean, it's like, really? Look at the facts, people. Look at the information that's out there. the more they try to push it down our throats, the more we're standing up and saying, no, no, no. We're spitting it out and saying, listen, this is the way it is. We're not going to buy into this crap.
Yep. You guys work for us. Let's get that thought out there and shed that across the country. Let's get that in everybody's mind that these people work for us, man. We don't work for them, but unfortunately that's been turned around on us, Dave. You know that. I know that. All it takes is for people to start. I think what's going to happen here, Dave, is people are going to start seeing a lot of their friends and families and ones they loved actually being affected, unfortunately, by this vaccine. And I think that will be the trigger point that really gets a lot of people involved. But the same kickback, and we only have a minute left here, 2 minutes left here, Dave. But the way this vaccine understanding, I just read a report from John Hopkins University on how this thing is contagious. You can be around somebody that doesn't have it, that has been vaccinated, and you haven't been vaccinated yourself. And we talked about it with the doctor. It's viable that they have created a perfect bioweapon, that they'll have this vaccine into the majority of the population with a lot of us not even knowing it's being inserted in our body. That's what they have created. That scares the hell out of me, Dave. It does. Yeah, anyways, buddy, you only got a minute left, so Sarah, last thought. And my voice is really starting to go on me here, guys. I'm going to be glad when this is over, Dave. Oh, it's starting to go, guys.
I sent you a bunch of links while the show was going on, and I think you'll find a lot of them interesting. It's more information.
Well, Dave, you send me good stuff every day. Every day you send me good stuff, so I appreciate it.
I try. Well, I sent you a couple that you'll get a good laugh out of them. I mean, it's the truth, but you'll get a good laugh.
Keep doing what you're doing, buddy, and I try and read them all.
Yeah. Well, it's crazy what's going on, we have to inform the people. We have to wake them up. It's just that simple. Regardless of what it takes, we have
to do it. We didn't even get into the geological events that are going on right now. It's unbelievable, folks, but we don't have time to talk about that today. Yeah. But anyways, Dave, thanks for coming in for a few minutes. Always good to chat with you.
I appreciate it. Thank you. And everybody that's out there listening, investigate this stuff, research this stuff, and you'll find out that it may just surprise you, the information that's out there with the truth in it.
Cool. Okay, Dave, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. And that's a wrap for this week, folks. Thanks for tuning in. I've enjoyed the conversation today. I hope that people listening in got a little bit of information that they might look into themselves. If we've been able to provide you with any kind of good information today, that's a blessing in my life and people that have been here discussing things with me today. Thanks to the doctors. Thanks to Steve again for producing my show. Thanks for being here, folks. Love you all, and I'm going to be back next week, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week. God bless you all. Bye for now.
You're listening to www.peoplesinternetradio.com, seeking solutions.